welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, 866-901-ADAM. Phone number. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bada Wawa.
I have been late twice in 16 years of radio.
What's happening, Adam?
Danny's running a little bit late this morning, I would imagine. But as I said, if I had me here, I would run late, too.
Right.
It's just the knowing. I'm serious. It's human nature.
Yeah.
I'm never late because I'm the first voice you're supposed to hear. If I wasn't the first voice you were supposed to hear, I would be a few minutes late. I've said it many times. I used to yell at Dr. Drew because of that. Doctor, when I used to work, Danny's here. Good morning, Danny. I used to work with Dr. Drew got very comfortable with the notion of me sort of signing on and signing off and coming back from commercial and throwing to commercial. And he got very comfortable with that notion, even though we always got paid the same. So what he took to doing is when we would do the commercial break, and it'd be a 5-minute commercial break at, 4 minutes and 30 seconds, I'd be feverishly checking my watch saying, I got to get back in there. And I've noticed Drew was under no such pressure.
Right.
What Drew would do is hang out having a conversation or whatever, and then when he noticed the show was back on, would leisurely make his way back into the room and sit down, knowing that I would cover the first 20 seconds. He wouldn't stand out in the hall and talk for 40 minutes. There's a difference between a hard in or hard out and a you should be here about this time. You'd probably live to about 120 if your whole life was, it'd be nice if you were here at this time versus your gig starts on this second.
Which is the one we have,
which is one of those things people don't realize about this job. No matter what time your job starts, nobody's looking at the seconds.
Right.
In 99% of your jobs. I mean, you're supposed
to
be there.
5-minute area, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
In most
days.
Yeah, 3 minutes for sure.
You're supposed to be there at 7 o'clock or 9 o'clock, and whether it's 5 after 9 or 5 till 9, it doesn't really much matter. This one comes down to the second.
Yeah.
And
I'd have made it too, except the two cops walking into IHOP.
I saw two cops parked over there across the street.
They were still in their car, obviously, when you passed them. When I passed them, they're standing outside the door of IHOP where there's a red light that won't change, which normally I run.
Yeah.
If I'm running late, and I'm just going, oh. And then, guys, people can't drive. There's a truck the size of mine coming up the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But a truck the size of mine coming up the ramp who hasn't done it, I guess, 100,000 times, is going 3 miles an hour, and there's nothing you can do in the parking garage.
I have found there are two speeds for the circular parking garage, climb your way up to the third floor. There is, I've never steered a car before in my life, and there's a cement maze, and I don't know if I can make it through the cement maze, or there's it's a deleted scene from Ronin. It's some guy in a 740 who's sideways going all the way up the thing. It's like Tokyo Drift. He's never straightens his car out. He's constantly at a 45 degree. He's doing an e-brake. Mm-hmm. That guy gets behind you every once in a while, and you're like, holy crap, what's going on at the top of this parking structure? I don't know too many people just take it at a speed that I like. I'm usually either speed it up, what the hell, or I'm, Jesus Christ, this guy's coming up fast,
yeah.
in the rear view, which I never mind. I just speed up. I don't care. I always feel like it's really the one time I drive like an a-hole all the time, right. But the one time I try not to drive like an a-hole is in the parking, whatever, because I feel bad for the other people. I feel like somebody's going to be stepping off the curb or opening out of the elevator, and I'm going to be zipping by and scare the crap out of them.
That never occurred to me even a little bit. No, it just doesn't. I just don't think anybody's going to be here at this godforsaken hour.
Not at this time.
I will do this, and I did this on the freeway yesterday, a black Mercedes-Benz. I was probably doing 80, and so was, it was the day I played paintball. Mm-hmm. So I'm out in the middle of nowhere, but there's still traffic in the sense of, there's a lot of cars, but we're all doing 80. There's no traffic in the slow down world, but there's plenty of cars doing 80. And a Mercedes, I can see them from a quarter mile back, is probably doing 100.
Mm-hmm.
And for no good reason, because we're all doing 80. He's whipping in and out quite aggressively. Mm-hmm. And I see him far enough back that it gives me time to hate him.
Mm-hmm.
He's cutting people off. He's flying in and out. And every now and again when I do this, I think, what if he's got a sick kid in the car? What if he's on the way to the emergency hospital? But by the time he gets there, I've decided there isn't. Mm-hmm. He has no, he's just an a-hole. Mm-hmm. And I get in front of him, and I make him do 80.
Mm-hmm.
We're still speeding, we're still going fast, but I'm going to get in front of that car that's been so aggressive and make him do my bidding, because I've got this Armada, which is the size of Wyoming. It really is an Armada, this car. It's not just a car, it's an Armada. And ship sail beside it.
It's white, too. just like people, big and white looks fatter in real life.
It does.
Automatically, big and white also makes you think you're very powerful in America just by the fact you're big and white.
Yeah. I don't have any... I'll tell you, though, I don't have that... If you want to drive like a maniac, Gene, I have the more power to you, brother.
Right.
That's one guy the cops are going to be on. The cops can follow your ass going 100, thus I can go 85. I just look at you as the rabbit out in front of the dog race. I don't like the cutting off super aggressive part, but if you're hauling ass, I love the fact that you're hauling ass. Mm. Either you're high or you can't make a flight or both. Knock yourselves out. I don't like it when you ride up my Tokai and so on and so forth, but I love the notion of crazy, ballsy, fast drivers.
Let me assure you that no one in paintball world was late for a flight.
Right.
They sent me out to the friggin' desert.
There's
some tape of that, by the way, when I get mad at the guy they sent from Opie and Anthony.
Oh, can we hear that?
You guys have it. Us guys have it.
And more importantly, can we hear from our first caller?
Doug?
Oh, man, guys, I absolutely love your show. I mean, I was in California with my wife on business about 6 months ago and heard it once. Come back. I'm 50 years old, so this was no easy feat. Bought an MP3 player, learned how to use it so I could download your show every day.
That is no easy feat.
And, you know, and I'm walking around. I'm doing my house chores since I stayed home now. And I just bust out laughing, and my kids and wife just completely make fun of me. But it really makes my day every day.
Well, thanks.
You're very kind.
Doug's calling from Kansas City. I've got to say, I love the radio, and not just in my car, and certainly not just me. I mean, it's ironic that I love radio. I'm in radio, but I never get a chance to hear my own show unless it's in real time through my headphones. Just the Walkman trucking around the house doing stuff is kind of cool in the radio world. And the whole MP3 thing and fast-forwarding through the commercials and all that good stuff, I think that's a really cool thing. And I just love the idea that you're somewhere in a city that we're not in, and
for
yet
long.
You get us. Right.
But noise-canceling headphones so I can even run the lawnmower and do it at the same time. You know? I mean, it's awesome.
What I like, and I think what Doug was pointing out is was no easy feat, is the fact that he's 50 and new technology.
He's figured out the MP3.
I'm 48, and I can't do any of it.
Well, how
I have an
hard
espresso
is it?
Machine that I am still tinkering with 3 years later.
Still trying to download songs into. Hey, Doug?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell us, because we have a problem with technology as well. How do you do it? And for all the people who aren't listening right now because they don't get our show, wait a minute.
Yeah,
how would they do it?
I think I'd buy the cheapest Samsung MP3 player there is.
How much is that?
It's like $90.
All right.
And my kids have iPods, but you've got to go through and I didn't know how to do that. You have to have special pirate software and all this. But I bought this cheap thing, and I go to your website, and it says, like, there's bits. And then you scroll down, and it says complete show, and you subscribe. So every day, it feeds to me, and there is no commercials. It just goes, it's like 12 different segments, and they go right
Son
through
of a
it.
Bitch. Yeah. Do they charge you to subscribe?
No, I think it's 97.1 is who I get it through.
Sometimes people are a little behind, and you'll get an email. I'm sorry you broke up with that guy. That was a month ago.
Yeah. They do run a bind, but I went, just the other day, I went because, as you know, girlfriend, I'm kind of forgiving her, because I like a good balls out move every now and again. Canceled my MySpace, which I had like 25,000 friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted her dead because I love that thing and I'm addicted to it. And when we got back together, part of the thing was, I'm gonna flirt with the people on MySpace. I'm just gonna. Leave me alone. They're in Kansas City. I'm never gonna meet them. She says she's 26 and 112 pounds. You know she's 80 and 312 pounds.
Right.
Leave me alone. I'm gonna flirt.
MySpace math.
That was mm-hmm. part of the getting back, and they told me that they put my new MySpace address on our website. So it was the first time I've ever been to it to see if it was there. And I went to AdamCarolla.com. Because that's what I say every day. If you want to do this, go to AdamCarolla.com. But we have two. You can go to 97.1 Free FM. No right. dot. Don't do the point one or you won't get anywhere. So 97.1 Free FM is one thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it can lead you to AdamCarolla.com. Right. But AdamCarolla.com is also another private
97.1
entity.
97.1 is the umbrella. Under hey, which we are.
Mm-hmm.
Can I make one request?
Yes, Doug.
I love those 1780s guys. Those are funny.
I like
one of my favorite
too.
Things, too, man.
We haven't done that in ages.
Yes, sir.
You have smoked way too many cigarettes. Your singing privileges should be suspended.
Oh, buddy.
You got to get some new earphones, buddy, because he sounds awesome from 3 feet away.
Doug.
I actually sit way back with the mic. All I'm really doing is I'm not implying that this voice should ever sing.
You just hear him singing. You don't smell him singing like we do.
Doug, do you have any requests for me?
Just keep on being you, because Adam was talking about how much fun you are than most people. On most women on radio.
I agree. And
I used to listen to a different show that I'm not saying who it is, but his last name is Cal. And he's got this young girl on there that is just a complete moron. And just listening to you and listening to her, the difference is night and day. You're witty.
Thank you.
I mean, honestly, I laugh. I bust out laughing at least 4 or 5 times every show, at least. You know, that my kids notice and tease me about. Lose the weight, chubby.
Well, thanks, Doug.
It's very sweet.
He said for you to keep being you, Teresa.
Yeah.
How confusing of a suggestion is that?
I know.
You got to pick one.
Well, we are on the radio because you are incredibly witty and funny.
Thank you, Doug.
Yes, I completely agree. Again, the caveat is how bad everyone else is.
Yeah,
especially in the female department. But yes, Teresa is head and shoulders above all other females on the radio, certainly in the morning radio. I don't know what it is. I think morning radio guys are very insecure and probably couldn't handle a woman that was smarter than they were or funnier than they were or something like that, because it's not like the males in morning radio are so good that there's just no women on the planet that are funnier than they are. It's that they... Well, I'll tell you what it is, I think. Hey, Doug?
Yes, sir?
Thanks, buddy. You can listen to this later on in the day when you're mowing your lawn.
Doug, thank you so much. I love that you podcast this, and I love that you called.
No, you guys make my day. Thanks again.
And good let time. Me just say, Doug, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
And there goes my speaker again.
See you, buddy.
You know, I guess the two things, well, here's what you have in morning radio. A, you have not many funny people in radio.
Right,
if you're funny, you'll aspire to different things. So I always knew many more funny guys who were trying to bang out a living doing sketch comedy and waiting tables at the restaurants that the successful radio folks would eat at who are making tons of dough and half as talented. So the first thing you have in radio is the funny doesn't go that way. It's like the sports. Like, why do we get our ass kicked in soccer every year? By Mexico and Peru and all in, you know, Hungary.
Because the Peruvians are moving so goddamn fast.
Just coked up. No, the reason we get our asses kicked is because our best athletes go into football, go into baseball, go into basketball. Our best athletes go into a different sport. So keeping that analogy going.
Right.
We have a bunch of guys that are blowing out their knees and third on the depth chart. And unless you can run a 4.440 and put up 225 pounds 35 times in a bench press, you may not cut it. You're not going to make the show in the NFL. So you're there. Meanwhile, those guys probably could have played soccer if they'd got started early enough and dominated and made a nice paycheck doing that. They just decided they wanted to try to play professional football, baseball, or whatever it is. Comedy works that way. Everyone decides they want to do stand-up. They want to get a sitcom. They want to be the next Adam Sandler. They want to do movies. They want to write. They want to whatever. And they just do it, but yet What are the chances?
What are the chances? That's what I was going to say. I have an expression. It's not an expression, but when I'm talking to somebody about show business, and that I use the expression hit by lightning. I got hit by lightning. That guy didn't. That's all. I usually use, there's a guy within 1,000 feet of me in some direction who's smarter.
He's more smarter.
There's a guy within 1,000 feet who's a better actor. There's a guy, you know, who, all the way around, there's usually somebody better at what you do within a mile radius, probably. But we lucked out completely, and I think everybody else on the radio and everybody on TV and everybody in the movies lucked out more than the waiter who's more talented than Mel Gibson. Because they're everywhere.
I don't think the people in radio lucked out. The people in radio realized probably that they were limited in the talent department. Well, look, here's all you need to know. Every single comedic voice in radio would probably like to be doing a talk show on television or writing movies or acting in movies. Their talent prevents them. Their lack of talent prevents them from doing that. Radio is one of the places you can get in, you can drive the van, you can intern, you can whatever. That doesn't exist. It's not like, hey, how did you get into pro football? You're quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys? How did it start? I started out cleaning the lockers. And now you're starting quarterback? Yeah. I got in about 12 years ago. I started cleaning the lockers, started hanging around. I made friends with the coach. He was a drinking buddy. We used to smoke herb on the roof of the training facility. He was cool. And then I just started hanging out. Next thing you know, I'm running the practice squad, and I'm hanging out, and we're smoking more herb. And then the next thing you know, the quarterback, he goes off to the number 16 market, and that leaves the space open. Next thing you know, I'm quarterbacking the team. That doesn't exist in anything but radio. You look around radio, half the people who are producing shows were driving vans, right, and so on and so forth.
Hosting shows.
Yes, it's get there early and often. If I have a kid and I perceive that my kids are marginally talented, yet they want to make a good living in show business, I'm going to drop them off at a radio station.
Absolutely.
And tell them to chain themselves to someone's door or go smoke weed with the program director. Mm-hmm. It's going to take 8 or 9 years, but eventually you'll be hosting a show on the air. That doesn't exist in the sitcom world, and it's not like, well, Jay Leno and Johnny Carson, they all got on TV by hanging out. No, you have to be the cream of the crop, right, the best of the best.
They were hanging out at the comedy club and smoking all the other comics, not
right,
weed.
This right. is about,
with radio, just you get this completely. That's the story of Ryan Seacrest. Makes $7 million a year in radio, and that's his story. At 13, he started interning at a radio station in Georgia, I believe, in Atlanta. And that's what happened. And that's what every big radio guy I know, except possibly, because we do mornings in L.A., and I don't know how you started, but I know, no, I think I do know well enough that none of us took that route on this morning show.
No, not on this. No.
No. We all came in a very weird window. But for the most part, I tell people it's the last bastion because I don't think people have a concept of how much a successful morning show can earn.
Mm-hmm.
People think you make $35,000 a year to $150,000 a year. There are morning guys just in Chicago that are number one in Chicago that make $2 million a year.
Yeah.
For that one city. People have no idea. And they do it because they started cleaning up studios.
Right. Well, so that's where the competition is in radio. So obviously, there's not a ton of comedic talent on the FM side of the dial. In the women department, I don't think the guys want to be challenged, and they like someone who laughs a lot. And
I like people who laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Well, indication that we're amusing is very good.
I do, too. So most of these shows end up hiring these lackey chicks who sit there and bat their eyelashes and laugh their ass off. And thus, they're suffering from the same thing. Because if a chick thinks she's really funny, well, then she goes the Tina Fey route. She doesn't head over to the local radio station. She wants to produce TV shows or star in a sitcom. So, Teresa Strasser, A, because she's talented, and B, because of the subpar talent in the competition department,
latter,
ends up being the top of the pyramid and the cream of the funny female crop. All right.
The compliment I always give her, at least in the beginning, was, I have always been, whether I had a partner who was a guy or just doing the Danny Bonaducci show, whatever I've done for the last 18 years, the girl on the show is referred to by all the listeners as the girl on the show.
Right.
Hey, that girl on your show is really good. That girl on your show, I don't like her voice. That girl on the show is great, but never. Hey, Teresa Strauss is wonderful. Everybody knows your first and last name.
Yeah.
If they know I'm on the Adam Carolla show, they know I work with Teresa Strauss.
The best you could do is traffic lady. I mean, it goes girl. First off,
weather girl.
Or just
girl.
It starts girl on the show,
right.
And then you can step up to like traffic lady, and then like weather girl, and then weather lady, and then eventually they'll just go first name. Diane is pretty funny. Dana, whatever, you know, she's funny. They'll never do the full name. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Speaking of women, Vanessa Williams. The beautiful Vanessa Williams.
From Ugly Betty?
From Ugly Betty has suffered a tragic loss. Yes. And phone screener Teddy says never a bad word about Teresa.
Oh,
and all
really?
The folks that call in,
thanks,
which
Teddy.
Suggested to me there's tons of bad words about me and Dad.
A lot of them, buddies, there are.
So Vanessa Williams from Ugly Betty, beautiful Vanessa Williams, suffered a tragic loss, something that struck her family. We will listen to the clip as told by Entertainment Tonight in a moment.
I'll get my Kleenex ready.
And you get ready to cry, and then we'll try to guess what the tragedy was. And at the end, well, you'll be disgusted. Next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. With an early peek at this morning's show, here's our program director, Jack Silver.
Jackman's riding dirty, peeps! Today, the deaf rat guy stops fire with his potato gun. Adam and Bald Brian do a reenactment. And legendary poon hound Scott Baio. Oh, man, Scott Baio. So sad. Over 40, hair turning gray, still chasing underage tail. Sounds awful. Nuts. Hey, Scott, when you're done, bring your little black book back here and we'll compare notes. And by notes, I mean STDs. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep, we got a full plate today. Before we get to all that, though, producer Angie was watching the entertainment shows. I think it was yesterday, watching our good friend Pat O'Brien on The Insider. And putting down a couple of cold ones. Hey, it was noon.
Right.
For break.
Somewhere.
Yes. I was loaded out of my mind.
And she stumbled across this story that had, this tragedy that had befallen Vanessa Williams.
He was taken from my property. An assault on my privacy. Very scary.
Vanessa Williams kidnap crisis.
We really didn't know what to think.
It was the Ugly Betty star's worst fear.
We searched all these woods all over here, day and night, flashlights during the day.
Vanessa's beloved family member went missing on Memorial Day, and the star was in agony.
We immediately made posters and put them everywhere.
Williams filed a police report and set off a nationwide search.
I even called a psychic and asked whether, told her the situation, and she gave me some clues, which she thought, she definitely thought he was still alive, definitely thought he was taken.
The star recalled seeing a suspicious black SUV near the end of her driveway.
When I left, Enzo was milling about here, and he was scooped up. And he's, 4.5 pounds. Easy, adorable.
Vanessa says cops confirmed her suspicions. Vanessa says her beloved black and tan Yorkie, Enzo, had been abducted. But imagine her relief learning little Enzo had been turned into a nearby vet.
And I just remembered screaming, they found Enzo. And everyone was like, what? And
wow, what an intellectual heavyweight. I don't know who I hate more, Vanessa Williams, Pat O'Brien, or me.
Well,
for buying into little Enzo.
Right. Because he bought into this.
We were laughing about this the other day, where you have a guy who crashes a $310,000 car and you go, a $400,000 car's destroyed.
Right.
Now that's on CNN. Why 400,000? It's a better story than 308,000
right.
MSRP.
Yeah.
It just sounds better. It's bigger. It's a better thing. It's like if you lose a $20 diamond ring, well, who cares? You lose a $20,000 diamond ring. Now we got a story.
Right. Yeah, this was a beloved family member.
Yeah, so this sort of slippery slope of, hey, we're going to make stuff into stories that aren't stories.
Yeah.
This chick who's has part of an ensemble cast of a popular show, but not exactly the biggest star on the planet, got her 4-pound Yorkie, probably not abducted. Someone probably revved their motorcycle and the dog went sailing over into the neighbor's yard because I'm no dog thief, but there's not a lot of money in abducting celebrity dogs and then dropping them off at a veterinarian.
But dog thief has occurred to me for a living when I was homeless, swear to God.
Not a bad gig if you can get it.
If you could steal one in Beverly Hills, I figured, and I always see this reward sign, $500. It really occurred to me. Me and Jim O'Neill. We're going to steal dogs in Beverly Hills and wait for their pet signs to go for war.
You definitely could.
As a kid.
Yeah, now, there's a couple things. First off, there's an interesting thing. I don't do it too much, or I try not to, but there's a kind of a narcissism where if something happens, it was a crime or it was on purpose. You know those people where you go, people are talking and they're going, I was standing in line and this guy went right in front of me and you go, he probably didn't see you. Oh, he saw me.
He
knew it was me. Oh, he knew what he was doing. Oh, that was intentional. And you think it probably wasn't, but the reason you're making it intentional is because you have a personality disorder and it's you.
Right.
It's got to be about you. So your dog doesn't get lost. Your dog gets abducted.
Right.
So somebody came and abducted her dog. You see, there's foul play.
There's got
to
be.
She talked to a psychic. This psychic, the 45-year-old out-of-work fat chick, confirmed it.
Right.
Over the telephone.
She's not out of work. She works for Vanessa
There's
Williams.
No such thing as a dog that just runs away or gets
Hold
lost.
Hold on. What was that? Slow down.
No such thing as a dog
that
runs away.
Whoa, hold on now. If you're poor, your dog runs away. If you're rich, your dog's abducted.
Much like if you're poor, you're crazy, and if you're rich, you're eccentric.
Right.
Same plan.
You're a crazy narcissist celebrity whose 4-pound dog, I'm sure, and here's what I'm sure of. The dog is running. Is the dog sniffing around the front yard?
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure, like many celebrity homes, Vanessa's home has one of those gates, and it's always a beehive of activity. If the gardener's not coming through it, the pool man's coming through it. If one of her assistants isn't on her way back on a lunch run, then they're going to a lunch run. So on and so forth. You don't realize how much activity there is. Celebrity houses every day are like regular houses when they're planning a wedding.
Yeah.
It's like the day of a wedding.
Catering.
It's catering guys here. The guy that's setting up the fake arboretum is here. The guys do blah, blah, blah. It's always just constantly. There's a couple of assistants. There's a chef. There's a trainer. There's a gardener. There's a pool. Somebody's coming and going. I bet the dog just went. I bet the dog trucked down the street a little. I bet Vanessa was too stupid to put a tag on the dog with the address and the phone number and the whatever. And whoever found the dog just dropped it off at the local vet.
Yes, Adam, she can't put a tag like Enzo on the dog because then people might know it's Vanessa Williams' dog. And
that's
they'll
right.
Take
Everyone
it.
Knows or Vanessa and knows her dog's name.
Follow that dog home. And know where Vanessa lives.
Right. She can't afford that kind
she
of risk.
She can't possibly have that kind of
She's
high
Vanessa
risk.
Williams. Apparently, you don't remember. She was Miss America and married to Rick Fox.
1981. That's
and
right. I remember it well.
With another chick.
Yes.
Don't forget that. The highlight.
I appreciate, though, her in that clip. She's just dripping with gravitas.
She really is. I contacted a psychic.
Well, do you
the psychic confirmed my initial thoughts. I like when a psychics confirm everything.
Yeah.
I have a dog. Name is Enzo. Check. That's right. Yep. I knew that. Yep. Yep. I knew what you were talking about. 4-pound Yorkie. I was going to tell you that. Yeah. I think the dog was a dog nap. Mm-hmm. Right on. Spot on as usual.
Spot
You see
on.
How long you last as a psychic disagreeing with people.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. If you ever call one of those psychic hotlines or any, you deal with them or you have a psychic on the radio with you and they're great guests and the phones always ring.
Yeah.
But they start like this. You have a brother.
Yes.
He's you're close to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is he far away from you physically right now?
Yeah, he's far away.
Yeah, I can feel that. I can sense it. Well, I knew all of that before you got here. Tell me what he's wearing, psychic lady. Well, tell me the motto number.
You don't even need
I knew I had a brother.
You don't even need to know any. You don't have to do any homework. All you have to do is know human behavior. Yeah. Just know how it works. Teresa.
Yes.
You love chocolate, don't you?
I do.
You do. I know. And you love it, but it doesn't love you.
No.
Sometimes you eat it and you feel bad. But you love it. But you're too hard on yourself. You shouldn't be so hard on yourself.
I know.
And you know what? You're creative. You're much more creative than anyone knows. Mm-hmm. But your job right now doesn't fully tap into that. You could be doing more creatively. Am I right?
Maybe.
Yes?
Yes.
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 Yeah. And let me say this too, Danny.
Yes.
There's a part of Danny that you show to the outside world that everyone gets to see. But then there's a part of you that you keep very secret. The part that you don't let people see. There's a side to you that other people don't know. You don't let them in on it. There's people you work with that don't know that side. Yes, Danny?
He's my secret.
Yeah, that's what
I do. Bravado is what people.
Yeah
right. They see the outer Danny, but then there's a secret side. T?
Yeah.
You too, girl? There's a side of you that you kept. You know what? You know the thing's funny? You're protective. You're very protective. Very you know, and the thing about Teresa, am I right here? You are the nicest person in the world. You're giving, you're loving, you're generous, you're the best friend, and you're loyal as the day is long. But don't cross you. Because if you cross you, there's a side of you that comes out. Very protective, very tough side that a lot of people don't know about, yes?
I can't believe you're picking up on this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
Yes. You walk erect and you have a spine.
I have a vertebral, a column of vertebrae.
A vertebrae stacked on diagonally or on top of each
on
other?
On top of each other.
That's, yes. And you walk on your feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, you see.
Now, the ones don't care if you start disagreeing. And now I can't do it as well. That was amazing because I actually always have psychics on because they're home run guests.
Yeah.
I can't do it as good as Adam did it as well as the guys I book on my own shows. I mean, that was pretty. But
I feel like an open book.
If you disagree with them and the really good ones, like if I said, you're the sweetest girl in the world, but if you cross you have a temper, don't you?
No, by pretty long fuse.
Yeah, but once that fuse is lit, then something really dramatic can happen.
Not really for
and
me.
And what you do is you keep that hidden, like you're doing right now, so nobody will know that there's that other side. You know, and then all of a sudden you're agreeing
again. The worst, most condescending thing they do is when you disagree and they tell you this answer. Teresa, there's someone who's very close to you whose name starts with an R.
I know this lady.
I can't think of an R.
Think about it.
I am, but I don't have any R people.
Think about it.
There's no one.
I'll tell you what. When you're driving home and you think of that person, you make sure and call me. Okay? Because I know I'm right about this.
Maybe, you know what? Ask your mother's still living, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Ask your mom.
I knew that.
Ask your mom about the R person.
Yeah, ask your mom.
Okay. I just don't
really
think there's an R person.
Mm-hmm. That's the weirdest gig, because I think, are we all talking about the same person with that particular gig?
The letter?
I don't know. I always get the letter, where the letter's somewhere in their name. It's a vowel, and it's somewhere in the name.
They run through all the letters, too. They'll be like, it's a B, a C, it's a D, it's an E person.
Let me explain this. Everybody's effing name has a jumble of letters in them.
Yeah, they get words.
I don't have any friends that are like, oh, no, that guy, I gave him a number.
Right.
He's 820-4. Of course, the guy's name is Brett. There'll be a couple of vowels, a couple of consonants. Somewhere there'll be a B or an E or a T. And you asking me to think about this letter, which is sort of the building block of every name, does not make you a psychic. It makes you a bad mathematician.
B, Betty, my mom, which is a short course for Elizabeth, my mom with the E. T is my coworker.
Yeah.
Easy. There you
go. That's the other one, too. You'll go like, well, there's no... well, we call her Elizabeth, but I guess B, she could go by Betty. Right. Uh-huh. There you go.
Pow. Okay, time has passed.
Good times. That's why we hate everyone. We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, by popular demand, because you peeps have been begging for it, a little reenactment. Me and Bald Brian, I believe there was a guy who killed his mom after a Mets loss, yes?
Yeah. He took the Mets loss very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure it was a meth loss?
And he killed his mom.
Because I'd kill my mom if she took my meth. Are you sure you're reading that right?
It was the Mets. They were at home watching, and there was a baseball bat involved, but I'm not talking about one with the Mets.
At least it's sports appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, you kill someone after a Mets loss with a hockey stick.
Or a tennis racket.
Tennis racket, or worse, one of those baskets they use in High Life that I don't even know the name of. Arm basket thing?
Arm basket thing, I think, is what they're called.
There'll be no mixing of the sports metaphors. We'll be using a baseball bat in this one.
All right. We'll do a reenactment next.
Brian likes his loving from behind. Whoa.
That song is still straighter than Dreamweaver, if you think about it. Dreamweaver, very gay lyric.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
All right. Well, Bald Brian and I are going to do a little reenactment for you. The story, T, quickly.
Okay. Well, in New York, a Mets fan was watching a Mets game with his mother. He was 25. The Mets lost. He took it very, very hard. He started to get violent. His mom, 61-year-old, tried to intervene. So he stabbed her in the head with a knife. Then he chased her into the bedroom. I said it was a bat, but it was in fact a barbell. He struck her several times with a 20-pound barbell. And unfortunately, he beat her fatally.
20 pounds.
Yeah.
Yep. Nine kilograms. So he's facing a maximum of life in prison.
All right. So Brian will play the son. Mm. I will play the father, who's not aware of what went on. This was over at your apartment. You've now been incarcerated. You have your one call to make from jail, and here it is. Hello?
Pop?
Moisha?
That's right.
Hey, what's going on there, Moisha?
I'm in a little bit of a pickle, Pop.
Oh, I love pickles. You know, we're Jews. We do nothing but eat pickles, and when we're not thinking about pickles, we're eating them, and we love free pickles. Yeah, we have to load up on pickled stuff before we eat our dinner.
Yeah, not a lot of pickles where I'm at.
Oh, you
know,
you're not physically in a pickle. I kid you, because you got a great sense of humor, son.
It's fun to laugh.
Yeah, your mom's a cut-up. Boy, she's the one. She's the one. You know, people say I'm the one with the sense of humor, but she's the one with the sense of humor. I wrote a few spec scripts for Dick Van Dyke back in the day.
Those were the days.
But your mother, she's the funny one. God, I can hear her laugh right now. What a joyous creature.
Yeah, about that.
Love to be alive.
So, Mom and I, speaking of the old girl, had a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
Over baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really in a good place right now, Pop.
Mm-hmm. What's the problem?
Well, you know how much I hate the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
We were having one of our Sunday baseball watching days.
We both hate the Astros.
I know.
And we're Mets men.
I know.
That's why I named you Moisha, after the great black center fielder from the 60s. Moisha Jones.
Mom was drinking, and you know she has a problem with drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how I get during a losing streak.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, well, we both take it hard.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mom took it pretty hard, too, if you know what I mean.
Sure. She's a big fan. Diehard Mets fan.
Yeah. Funny you should mention that. So, the Mets lost again.
Mm-hmm.
And Mom took it pretty hard.
So she was upset. She'll bounce back. The woman loves life. How many times don't make me break out in song. The woman loves life, son. You had a few pops of Manischewitz. You cried. You laughed. You hugged. Is she on her way home now?
I began destroying my own apartment.
Okay, it's a rental. I can accept that. You won't get your cleaning deposit back, but so be it.
Mom thought it would be wise to step in.
She intervened when you were destroying your apartment, yeah?
I physically stopped her from stopping me.
Did you ask her to sit down?
Well, do you remember the knife set you guys bought me for Hanukkah?
Sure, cutlery. And been in the business for years.
And do you remember the barbell set you guys got me the next night in Hanukkah?
So nobody's going to push my son around. I remember saying that. I think it was night number four.
Well, the good news is I found a way to use them both.
I remember announcing such a set of barbells.
Yeah, the bad news for Mom, anyway, is that I've been using the barbells, and I can now wield the 20-pounder.
Good boy! Way up to 30 this time next year.
Oh, I'll be doing a lot of weightlifting, I think, in my free time.
Oh, really? I like that, son.
I'm in jail, Pop.
I don't understand.
I'm calling you from the big house.
For bussing up your apartment?
That is a pretty minor charge at this point.
I don't get it. Would you cheat on your taxes or...
No.
Drunk driving?
In retrospect, that would be nice.
White collar?
No, the collar's more red with blood.
Blood? Were you injured?
No, I'm fine. Actually, that's the good news. I'm actually okay.
Well, then who's hurt? And where's your mother? She should have been here 20 minutes ago. My brisket's getting cold.
I may as well tell you. I stabbed her in the head with the knife set and then beat her to a bloody pulp with the barbells.
Mm-hmm. How'd the knives hold up? Handles stay intact and everything? Because that's real. That's elk antler on there.
I actually cut through a tin can afterwards.
Oh.
No problem.
All right. Yeah. Well, listen, I never liked that bitch anyway. So enjoy the joint. And I'm going to continue nailing my secretary with impunity.
Wow. Hey, this may sound maybe inappropriate or even ironic.
I wish you had a second wife that you could kill.
I'll work on that. This may sound ironic, but you want to have a kvetch.
Okay, son. Thank you.
It was such
very nice.
Thank you.
Nice
touching.
Twist.
We need to take a break. T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news, baby girl?
We're going to talk about Michael Vick, Donald Trump, and swingers.
Ah, swingers.
Smoking sucks.
Yes, yeah. We'll do that next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Still to come this morning, Charles, Chachi, Scott Baio is in the studio. We'll break out some classic calls from the Crank Anchor's vault.
Yay!
And also sit down with 6-year senior at USC.
Hell yeah!
Maverick, the deaf frat guy. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep, it's my show, but this is T's segment. It's called The News.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Michael Vick is going to plead guilty. You've probably heard this already. It's pretty likely that Vick is going to have to serve some time. CNN claiming that prosecutors offered Vick a deal, which included 18 to 36 months. His attorneys, of course, are hoping to get that sentence down to under a year. Federal prosecutors have yet to comment on the plea agreement, but Michael Vick's attorney, Daniel Meacham, is talking, and he says it's a very unpleasant situation for Michael Vick.
It's not a pleasant situation. It's not something that we look forward to. So he's human. He's a person. He feels like we do. He hurts like we do. We hurt for him. He's hurting.
You're right.
Oh,
he's hurting because we caught him hurting dogs.
Hanging him and electrocuting him and drowning him.
Right. A couple of things. First off, if he's pleading guilty, there are some very horrible things that were going on, and there are some bad guys who are going to say what was going on. Otherwise, he wouldn't be pleading guilty.
I think worse than that. because when you're talking about guys that are saying, I watched him kill his dogs, I helped him kill his dogs, that's not a great witness. Mm-hmm. There's videotape somewhere.
Mm. Ah.
Interesting.
That's a very interesting point.
There's concrete evidence. There's somebody with a tape of him killing a dog with his bare hands or something that he'll never survive.
It was a short time between him saying he was not guilty and him saying he was guilty, and according to his lawyer, taking full responsibility for his actions and the mistakes he's made.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of all these, you know, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone and all that. Mm-hmm. We're all human. We've all made mistakes. We've all done... Right. We've fudged on our taxes. We have not left 18% on a tip. We don't kill dogs.
Right.
You know this part where you're defending a client, the client is accused of something heinous.
Yeah.
And whether it's animals or people or whatever, the guy's beating the crap out of his wife or he's killing the dog. And you do this we all umbrella crap. None of us here can say we're not guilty of. Yes, we can, you a-holes. Of course, we've all gone through a yellow light and we've all fudged a little paperwork when or maybe we didn't say anything when the guy gave us too much change at the liquor store. That's not torturing animals or beating a woman.
Right. In the same book that it says that he was without sin cast the first stone, it also says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, meaning the crime needs to fit, the punishment needs to fit the crime.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get to say, you're right, I got a speeding ticket, so he's okay for choking a dog with his bare hands.
Yes, I don't
he
like...
He needs to be choked with bare hands.
I don't like the part where they mention the guy's a good guy. I don't like the part where they do, he's a human being, he has feelings. Evidently doesn't have feelings, right. Or he wouldn't have done this to dogs. Or he has, obviously, yes, he's technically a human being, a very bad one.
Yeah.
He's a horrible example of a human being. Don't do this, oh, and he's deeply sorry. I'm sure he's sorry. I'm sure that the football season would have interrupted his dog fighting season, and that's what he would have been sorry about. Let me just ask you this, Mr. Attorney. This time next year, next summer, if nobody had ever stumbled onto this, do you think he would have just had a change of heart? Do you think he just would have woken up one morning and said, you know what, dog fighting is wrong. What I've been doing is wrong. I'm a human being. We've all made mistakes. I'm going to forgive myself, but I'm going to move on because this is wrong. Hell no. He would have been doing this for another 50 years, and when he retired from football, he would have got to it full time, I'm sure.
Full-time
it's the kind of
Kevin.
Thing that you're either into or you're not. You don't have a change of heart. You either get busted by the cops.
Uh-huh.
Or some woman intervenes at some point and gets you to knock it off because she cuts off the flow of Tang.
Ah.
The steady tap of Tang runs dry, and then you have to change your ways. That's the only thing that's going to do it.
I would do that. If I could save dogs, I would do that.
You would use your vagina as a weapon?
Yes.
Well,
to save those little dogs.
If any woman wanted to say, if you want any more kitty, you'll stop killing the doggy. And
right.
We would.
So you think if he had had a woman in his life, she may have said, knock off this dog.
This is what women are here for. Right. They're here to have kids, and they're here to get you to stop doing horrible things.
Yeah.
And this would have been one of them. So a woman would have been nice, a woman, his mom, his wife, or whatever, God knows what kind of relationship they have, could have talked him out of this. But it's not the kind of thing you just stop because you think it's wrong. It's like being a pedophile.
Right.
Whenever there's something that as a society we go, God, that's heinous. God, that's harsh. There's no way could I ever do that. No way could I ever approach a 5-year-old child sexually. Right. No way could I ever take an innocent animal and put electrodes on it. Whenever there's that, whenever you say there's no way I could have done that, well, then there's no way the people that are into it can stop.
Okay, I'll go with that. That's if you're going to go as far as to kill the dogs in a gruesome way, it's not just the dog fighting. There's something, you have an addiction of some kind.
You should be so nauseated by that you never stop vomiting. And if you're not, and if in fact there's a part of you that enjoys it a little bit,
right,
then you're in. Just like a serial killer. 99.99% of the populace thinks, oh my God, abduct a college-age girl and torture her out in the woods? No, I could never, ever do it. But there's that 1% that can. Those guys don't get tired of it in 2 years and move on to horticulture. Those guys get busted or they get killed.
They get busted because they do it more frequently and take more chances.
Yes, Michael Vick is not sorry about anything other than he got busted. Right. He would be doing this for the next 20 summers. I'm sure of it.
I hate to say this because I always loved my wife. I always loved my wife from the day I met her till the day she divorced me. But I cheated. And when she caught me and it broke her heart and she was sad, I swore I would never do it again. Mm-hmm. And I totally did it again. And I was ashamed and I was sorry, but it is a thing that I did. This kind of thing is so above and beyond the call of duty of regular person. There are other, hopefully, decent guys who have cheated and gotten over it in their lives.
Right.
To do the things this guy did to an animal is not a hobby, it's not a mistake, it's an addiction and a fetish, I would think. Yeah. I bet there's even a sexual connotation to it somewhere.
I would say it falls under the realm of fetish, which, you know, to me, fetish is all those things that sound nauseating to us that turn other people on, that they get off on.
Right.
Yes.
And the more nauseating it is to you, the deeper they're into it.
Well, is it possible that somebody who is involved in dog fighting could in some way love dogs? I want to play you a clip that ESPN has been playing practically on a loop. This is a classic clip of Michael Vick discussing some things about him that you might not know.
Tell me three things that people may not know about Michael Vick.
Three things. I love animals. Love fishing. And
Sag Aquarius.
My mama's boy.
Loves animals. Number one thing you don't know about him.
And the number two thing is
he loves killing the ones that live in the sea.
Right. The number two thing is I want to hook a fish in the mouth.
Right.
And then I'll gut it while it's still alive.
Bizarre.
Although I love
luck. He's obviously an imbecile. He's a stupid guy who's gifted physically.
I love animals.
What do we expect? You know what I mean? I mean, you throw 130 million guys at a guy, $100 million at a guy who probably has the mentality of an eighth grader.
Right.
And then expect him to do the right thing 8 months out of the year when he's spending that money with a bunch of guys that are as dumb as he is.
But don't you think whores and drugs? Who thinks dog killing? I mean, who would that occur to? If you throw 130 million, I win the lotto and you come over to my house and there's nothing but chicks and drugs and the guys that I've been kind enough to invite over to share in my chicks and drugs, I'm still kind of a normal guy who won the lottery. You give me $130 and come to my house and I'm skinning pets. You're not like everybody
else. Well, they say money just makes you more of who you were before.
I love animals.
Yeah, and there's part where you have domain over the beast. You know, there's a power trip part of it, and there's a thumbing your nose at the man part of it too, because it's illegal and you get to get away with it. Either way, horrible guy, and who cares?
Do you care about swingers?
Yeah, what is that?
It's a growing industry.
Oh, you mean swinging?
Swinging, as in swapping wives and husbands. Mm-hmm.
I am interested in this, actually.
Yes.
Well, apparently, the U.S. swinging industry is blowing up.
Mm.
It's a growth industry. No better time to invest. Yes, this is the time. There's an organization called the Lifestyles Organization. It's America's largest swinger services company.
Mm-hmm.
Their sales are about $15 million a year. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there are right now at least 100,000 active swingers in the U.S. 20,000 of them are considered extremely active.
Okay. There is something that I cannot tell you, because I just promised last night I wouldn't.
Uh-oh.
My little Amy, who ends everything we do with, oh, I've never done anything like that before.
Right.
Do you see this red stripe across my back, G? Right in the lower back, anywhere?
Yeah.
As a joke, on my birthday, Board Op Bill gave me some really wild underwear and a paddle. And Amy found it last night and said, what's this for? And I said, oh, it was a gag gift from Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, can I whack you with it? And it makes this really nasty
now
crack.
Now we're all gagging.
But doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. No, and we're playing. We're laughing. And both of us that I did to her, we both laughed because we both didn't get any sexual thing out of it. We didn't understand it. I don't even think this is sexy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The next thing I know, little Annie, who's never done anything, is all of a sudden, she misses my pants because we're not doing it to hurt anybody and whacks me right across the back with a paddle and leaves that welt.
I just threw up in my mouth.
And
Do you think that's reasonable?
It's an accident.
Well, yeah.
Tell Danny to move on.
Her heart was in the right place. It's just her hand was in the wrong place.
Sure enough, but it wasn't. Nobody had any sex because of it, and it wasn't this be funny. It was because it was funny, and Bill gave it to me. But to leave a mark like that, don't you think there might be some hidden aggression like
Give
that?
Give me a
there?
Break.
No, I was an accident.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a score to settle.
Yeah!
That's why you should never... Look, you leave that crap in your car. You don't bring that crap in the house. I got all kinds of nonsense.
It was a gag gift. I didn't think anybody was going to whack me with it.
Gifts are supposed to roll around your car for about 6 months, and then eventually have to clean them all out and throw them in the dumpster at the dealer.
Sometimes I re-gift it.
Yeah, you can re-gift, or you can just chuck it in the dumpster when the lease is over on the car.
Yeah, thanks for this rubber ducky that vibrates. I'm going to get a lot of use out of it.
Thank you for the jockstrap full of peanuts, the sack full of nuts.
Hilarious.
So swingers.
Right. So 60%, maybe this would help you, Danny.
Yeah.
60% of swingers say that swapping partners improve their relationship.
I would believe that to be true.
Under 2% say it ruined their relationship.
I would believe that to be true.
Now, would you consider doing this since you guys are so wild?
We're not that wild yet. I'm working on her. Mm-hmm. Because I've never been with a wild woman, to be honest with you. I've been with a lot of people. I've never done anything fascinating. Because you don't do any weird stuff with strangers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Gretchen wouldn't, like, experiment in any way. So mostly I've slept with people exactly one time each, just a bunch of them.
Right.
So I've never done any of the wild stuff. So we are kind of, like, going branching out a little bit. I don't think I can talk her into swapping people, but I always thought with Gretchen when things got incredibly dull, if there was a big old handsome man she liked and he was married to a big, really beautiful babe and they lived next door, because I've known some, and they seemed happy. They seemed like it worked for them. Like once every 2 months they'd go on like a little vacation together.
Yeah.
And their marriages stayed together.
Well, 900 couples show up every year to Vegas for the annual swinging convention. 900.
Oh, man. Second biggest convention is the carpet cleaners convention that shows up right after the swinging
convention.
But who's
more attractive, the carpet cleaners or the swingers?
Manuel and the boys are usually better looking physically than the swingers.
It's like a nudist camp. They're all big, fat people that should stay dressed.
Yeah, that's the problem with swingers. There's the Cinemax version of the swinging couple, and then there's the realities version of the swinging couple.
Speaking of reality, new reality show we talked about yesterday. Celebrity Apprentice, Donald Trump's latest. He told the New York Post that already on board, Carmen Electra, Joan Rivers, Naomi Judd, George Foreman, Kimora Lee Simmons, Dana Patrick, Pete Rose, Tony Hawk, Jeff Gordon from NASCAR.
Wait a second. Dana Patrick. Who's Dana Patrick?
She is in the Meatloaf video, I Would Do Anything for Love.
Oh, we're just talking about her 18 years ago.
Well,
he's trying to get somebody more current, and that brings me to what Donald Trump has to say about Britney Spears. He's really campaigning.
She's terrific. She's a terrific girl. She says terrific as the word terrific is. Starts with a ter, ends with an ick. Terrific.
He's trying to get Britney Spears on his show, and he actually thinks it's a possibility. He spoke to Neil Cavuto, and here's why he thinks he can get Brit.
You remember Britney had a show, it was somewhat of a disaster, on cable television, like you're on. Of course, you got much higher ratings than she did.
It was not classic.
She had a show on cable, and it was a small, basic show with her and Kevin Federline. And, you know, I used to criticize Kevin Federline all the time, and then he said his hero is Donald Trump, and now I tell people he's a great guy.
It was not terrific nor classy was that show. This new show will be number one in the ratings and in the hearts and minds of all the terrific classy people who enjoy terrific classy programming.
Who's the race car driver?
Jeff Gordon.
No.
I actually know that guy, so he must be
really
famous.
She was in
famous.
Here. Why, for some reason, I thought Dana Patrick was name.
Dana Delano, Danica. Terrific. Danica Patrick,
Danica.
A wonderful race-driving porn star. She's a terrific, classy. She's a classy lady. She's diminutive, which is another good word. Terrific and diminutive. Those are two good, classy, terrific words right there.
Well, two other classy, classy competitors. Jim Cramer.
Jim Cramer.
From Mad Money.
Mad Money, who's a classy, he's a dear friend. He's
you're
a terrific, classy, dear friend.
I don't know what we're yelling
he's
about.
Always yelling.
He's a terrific, classy, dear friend. He does a financial show on one of those deep cable things where he jumps around and yells about the Nikkei average.
Yes.
He's a terrific, classy, dear friend.
Not to be outdone by... And this is kind of meta because she's only a celebrity from being on Apprentice to begin with, but Omarosa will now be on Celebrity Apprentice.
Armorosa is a classic, terrific, classy, classific, Nubian, classy princess. She's outspoken. She's terrific. She's classy.
I'm still mad at Jack Silver for not letting me do celebrity bull riding. I feel now better about myself.
Who'd be riding who, Bonaducci?
Yeah, I don't care. How much is the prize money?
The bull would be like, how much to mount Bonaducci? Not for all the hay and cow ass in the world.
$300,000.
Wow.
That's a terrific amount of money, but not to me.
No, not to you, but
that doesn't
grand.
Get one cigar lit on my private jet.
Well, classy, terrific, and now over. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Well, we got a little catching up to do. We got Strasser and her baby names.
Oh, yeah.
We got into it the other day, but just barely and briefly. It is important. It does say a lot about. I will do some prejudging if you tell me what the person's name is.
Right, of course you do.
Do you judge them or do you judge their parents?
I always judge them, unfortunately. Oh, wow. I should blame their parents. Well, you should blame their parents for the big nose, for the stature, for the weird name. You should blame their parents. You should blame Michael Vick's parents as well, but you don't. You just blame the person.
Not when I meet Star and Rainbow. When I meet Star and Rainbow, I say, oh, parents hippies? It just comes out of my mouth.
Right.
Anything else, you can blame the person, I think. But Star and Rainbow and those things, I always think parents deadheads.
But if I said, Danny, I'm going to set you up on a blind date with my friend. She's told, her name's Harriet.
Yeah. Right.
You would not want to go.
Told for me.
But if I said, do you need a lawyer? Her name's Harriet.
Fine. Mm. Good. Absolutely. Yeah. Harriet's
see,
too old to be my date.
It's got to suit both functions.
Good name for TSV, too. Harry, Danny.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break. 866-901-ADAM. Tell us either what you've named your kid. Or the horrible name you've gotten as well. And then what do you think T ought to name her upcoming unconceived child?
Yeah.
Let's name T's egg. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's name her egg.
Time's running out. I got to be ready.
T's kid unlikely. That's the first name I'm picking.
Name T's egg. She has a 1.5 left.
Maybe two.
Name her eggs. We'll do that. And then, T, you tell us what you've arrived on.
I have some names, yeah.
Really?
I hope you've done better than Marisol.
I know. I ruled it out because you didn't like Marisol.
There was a gang-banging Mexican chick who wore, like, that blue frosted eyeliner and straightened her hair with an iron who was hot for me in the seventh grade. And I was freaked out by her, and I've hated the name ever since. She chewed gum, and she smelled of cheap perfume. We'll take a quick break. Be back with the names.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. If you turn up the radio really loud, you can hear Teresa Strasser's biological clock tick, tick, ticking away. Even though she's not pregnant or married, she's still naming her children, and she needs your suggestions. So call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. You don't need a car to start building a garage.
I got a man.
That's right.
It's a step in the right direction.
You know what we decided? This is big news.
Mm. What?
2008 is the year to mate.
Mm.
Really?
That's right.
And he's hip to that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm getting kind of pushed.
I thought the baby name thing was going to freak him out, so I floated it slowly. No, he liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
He's ready.
How old is your man?
37.
No, it's time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have any other children, never been married. All right.
Yeah.
Look, I'm flattered that you're taking my advice, which is you're both old enough to know. You've been around the block a few times. You've been in other relationships. Why drag the thing on, nitpick each other to death, and figure out what you don't like about each other and then get married? The hell not just get married and then nitpick.
Right.
That's what I did.
That's the old-fashioned
way. I was married, and I didn't want the divorce, but I was married longer than any of my friends. And I married a stranger. I didn't even know her name. And we nitpicked for almost 20 years.
I thought people were just messing with me when they said, when you meet the person, you just know.
You'll know.
But I do.
Well, here's the way I look at it. I'm going to be pragmatic. You guys will be divorced somewhere in 2013.
Right.
Now, if you get together and get married next year, you can have yourself a nice 5-year relationship.
Yeah. Right.
It's not embarrassing.
Sure.
If you guys nitpick and hang out and live together and cohabit and all that crap and get married in somewhere in the summer of 2011, yeah, then you're going to have an 18-month marriage, and that's nothing to be proud of.
You're not helping me, Corolla.
You get married early. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Look, you got to look at it this way. From the time you meet anyone, the clock starts ticking. When are you going to break up with this person? Now, if you get married later on that evening, like Bonaducci did,
right,
well, then all those hours that tick away are under the flag of marriage, in yeah, which case you have some respectability.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have been together for 8 years and then got married and stayed together for 18 months.
Absolutely yes, true. I found that because of comparing my marriage to theirs. Totally
right,
true.
They could yeah, have said, I had a 10-year marriage. It right, fell apart. Instead, they said, I had a 17-month marriage. It fell yeah, apart, and everyone went, loser.
Right.
We were together 10 years, but only married two. You hear that yeah, right, all the time. Right.
And plus, I don't want to say, I don't want to be in a deep, abiding relationship with somebody who's the father of my kids and have to say, my boyfriend.
No, but even right, without having to say the father of your kids, I think Adam is completely right on this. You're a grown woman. This is the guy. Marry him, and I think you'll be very happy for a respectable
you
amount of time.
You want to hear something really sweet? Because we were talking about rings and how do we feel about rings. I'm not sure how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. And he said that he wants to wear a button that says, ask me about my wife.
Kidding, though, right?
His boyfriend can use that as a nice coaster to set his wine cooler on the nightstand before yeah, they get it on.
He hates talking about himself. Prefer to talk about me.
Ask me about my wife.
I was going to get Don't Sleep With Me, I'm Married, tattooed on my chest. Not kidding. And then I realized no one would care, and I just have another
that's
big
true,
stupid tattoo.
Might even be enticing. He's gay!
Well, let me say this quickly and philosophically, and then we'll get to the names.
Yeah.
Everyone tells everyone, slow down, don't rush into anything, don't wait. Your goal in life should be trying to get your instincts about people, about jobs, about real estate, about anything that affects your life in a real way. Your job in life should be trying to narrow that decision time down to a hummingbird's heartbeat and be right.
Yeah.
Not, I'm going to sit back and scratch my ass for 5 years and try to figure out whether I should squeeze the trigger on that condo that yeah, was 200 grand. It was 250 last I checked, and it's now 400 grand yeah, because I can't squeeze the trigger on anything, or that relationship that I probably should have just dove into, or that job I should have taken, or not. There's the other side, right, which is, nope, not the right person for me. I'll move on. Nope, not the right condo for me. Not the right job for me. You should be working on that. You should be at the point in your life as an adult where you get to look at things, hear things, sample things, see people, whether it's for a relationship, whether it's for a intimate relationship, working relationship, friend relationship, and go, no, not for me. Or, yes, I want to get yeah, to know this person better. Not, I'm going to hang out and question myself, and then I'm going to email some of my friends and get those retards to weigh in on something they know nothing of. What a horrible way to go through life. Trust your instincts.
Yeah.
They'll never be purer than they are at the beginning. You met this guy. You're yeah, into the guy. Follow those instincts.
It's the first time. I mean, I literally saw him across the room. It's just
one of those.
I thought that kind of thing only happened to people who mixed prescription drugs without artful.
Yeah, but sometimes those marriages can still last 20 years.
Well, what do you have okay, naming your eggs?
So you guys can give me your intuitive, instinctive mm-hmm, impressions. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a coffee name whenever I order coffee. Mm-hmm. I don't like them to use my real. I don't know why I don't like them to call out my real name when the coffee's ready. It annoys me.
Now I have to cut you off.
But, what?
Yeah.
What,
I
do
know,
you think a crowd's going together?
No, I just don't like it.
I went into Starbucks when we were out of town with about five or six guys to buy coffee. And it's always a little weird for me because people know my name, and I don't like it when they ask, what's your name?
Right.
And they write it on the thing, and the next thing you know, the guy yells, Adam!
Right.
And then everyone looks at me and goes, hey, man show.
Yeah. Right.
I'm just uncomfortable with
yes.
it.
Yes,
but I don't want to tell the guy to say Alan because the guy recognizes me half the time. Well, this woman went nuts for Joel McHale, who was with me. She's like, oh, it's Joel McHale. Oh, I watch the soup all the time, which was pissing me off. Joel McHale and I were out of town looking at cars with a bunch of other guys. And then she looked at me and I said, well, this coffee's going to be for everybody. We're just going to pay for it in one lump. She said, well, what's your name? And she said, I said, Adam. And she said, fine. And then she looked at Joel and she said, I'll just write Adam on your thing, too. And she wrote Adam on everyone's thing right. just to make it simpler and probably because she didn't want to embarrass Joel McHale.
Right. Yeah.
But then I had to sit there while everyone else recognized me while she yelled Adam times nine yeah. guys in the coffee. So you have a coffee name, yes. just like people have a name when they check into a hotel
right.
or
and
something.
It's rare, but occasionally there'll be some TLC fan in there.
No, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So it's Francesca.
Oh, when they ask, oh, is that what you do?
Yeah.
When they ask me my name, because yeah. we're a little different, Adam and I could not be more different. If when they say a name, I say, Danny Bonaducci, the guy from the Partridge Family.
She has to just read the entire thing.
Out.
The ultimate, comment is yeah. I would say 70% of the time they don't ask my name.
Yeah, they'll go.
That's yes. a real that's a compliment. But that's, yeah. I want them to yell my name as loud as possible.
Here's the problem with Francesca. It's right. gonna get. It's gonna turn to Fran.
Yeah, I don't
you're
like
gonna.
Fran.
You're gonna like Franny.
Yeah.
But it's still gonna go to Fran.
You know what I love?
Hmm.
Your what's your daughter's middle name?
Oh,
you know this.
Oh, don't put me on the spot. You know how I don't. First off, I'm not accustomed to public speaking, so I seize up.
You know this. Her.
Right. Yeah, I'm, Jesus Christ.
I know you know.
No, I know it's, you know, the reason it's confusing is because it sounds almost like another name.
Mulva?
I didn't think I was going to ask you something you didn't know. This is like a lawyer. You're never supposed to ask your client a question on the stand if you don't know the answer. Right. He's gonna
I don't call her by her name. I haven't right. started disciplining her yet.
Your
you know, where I'm like, Natalia, Blank, Carolla, you get your buns in the house.
I'll give you a hint. This is why I like the name, because I'm Hungarian, and it's a common Hungarian name. It's
oh,
short.
Bougie.
Nope.
Damn it.
Joe Esterhaus. The only Hungarian I know. It's Zsa Zsa.
Get your wife on the phone.
Oh, Christ's sake.
Three letters.
Those are my two Hungarian.
What's it start with? Seriously, I'm seizing up. Oh, Anastasia. Not Belle.
Annabelle.
Antoinette.
It's short.
Annie.
Ashley.
I believe it's
I
Ava.
I can't believe, huh?
Ava.
Oh, that's
Zsa's
okay.
sister. I was so freaking close.
That's right. Ava Gabor. That's right. See,
I
here's the problem.
Name. Ava's
I'd have
a
beat
cute
you to
name.
Your kid's name.
I thought
this is the greatest moment in the history of the show.
I thought you were bluffing at first.
No. Here's the. Look. First off.
Red.
I
continue.
Okay. Look, couple things.
Please.
I thought
I knew this, you're fired.
I thought it was Eva. I thought it was Eva for a while. Because when
they're young, you've only known them a year.
When right. I was at and this was like 4 months ago, we had this waitress named Eva.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, my name's Eva. And I was like, oh, honey, that's our kid's middle name. And I was like, what's with the puss? Ava? Are you asking me? You see that bracelet. So I thought it was Eva for a while, and then you know when you we blindsided me. And I don't know if this is you know trial at Nuremberg or what's going
I should
on.
Fire
here.
You feel, and burn you down know, your friggin' house.
I feel like oh, yeah. I'm under interrogation.
You definitely
here.
Need this to be is, doing the rest of the show in a glass
this
booth.
Is
this
like
is
Gitmo.
An attack.
It's
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Just start putting my head in a
Waterboard.
Tub of water
yeah.
and beat me the hose and take a nude pyramid of me and board out Bill as much as you'd love to?
Yeah, I forgot. What's your wife's birthday?
Uh-oh.
I think it's pretty darn funny.
That's a good one because that's coming up.
The point is, Ava is an adorable first name.
Right, Eva?
Ava.
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 What did you woke me up for?
It's a nice name.
So you want our right, votes Ava. On that one?
Yeah. Crap, what's the boy's
it.
Middle name?
What is the boy's middle name?
I'm pretty sure it's Richard.
No.
It's Richard because that's my father-in-law's name.
That's nice.
I like that. You know what else I like as far as Hungarian names, but the man has said no for a boy, Laszlo.
I gotta say this.
Don't name after a cartoon character.
My grandfather, my step Jewish grandfather, my Hungarian step Jewish grandfather, who was like my real grandfather because my biological grandfather was some sort of abusive alcoholic that like walked to San Francisco when my grandmother was 19 and she like had to flee and go into like all kinds of good child protective stories. And it was real nice. Effed up stuff yeah. in the 30s.
Wow.
I mean, you want to talk about a pioneer in taking, you know, people think all this welfare and child service stuff, they think this is a new invention. Well, what, 60s, 70s? Ooh, hell no. My grandmother availed herself of those freebies in the 30s. This guy was just an abusive alcoholic dick. My step-grandfather, who was around from before when I was born, I look at as my real grandfather, and I never knew my other grandfather on my father's side died when my dad was like 16. So he's my only grandfather.
And no offense, but the good one's name actually is Dick.
The good one is
Lynette's dad.
That's my wife's dad. That's father-in-law.
Who you do like, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the one, I say this all the time, I criticize my family a lot, but the cool thing about my family is I get to name my son's middle name after the father of my wife, and my dad doesn't say a word about it. I mean, he's not son. Come on, James is a proud name. How about a little love this way? I don't even know that he knows. He certainly doesn't care. They're not hypocrites.
Right.
There was a deal. I'm not going to any Pop Warner football games, and then you name your kid whatever you want. No pressure.
Cats in the cradle.
At least he's not a hypocrite.
Yeah.
It's not one of those dads that goes, I'm not going to any games, and you must name your kid's middle name after me. He's very fair in that he doesn't care about anything.
Anything, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it is nice. It'd be nice if he could prove he was alive once in a while, but it's nice. So, Laszlo, good guy, and we called him Lotsy.
I like
that. And everyone called him Lotsy, and it was a great name. It sounds confusing. Good. I may just be used to it, but we always called him Lotsy, and everyone loved the guy. And I have a very soft spot in my heart for that name.
A good association. You know what other name I've always loved is Daniel.
Well, that's my middle name.
I have to know, wait a minute, Dante Daniel?
Bonaducci.
Dante Daniel.
Yeah. It just didn't stick like it does with my son. I've never been Dante. I don't remember. I even tried for a while to be Dante, and just no one would do
it. But when you named your son Dante, were you naming him after you?
I liked the name, but his first name isn't actually Dante. I went crazy. I didn't realize.
I got to write this down, because sometimes I try to tell people what his name is, and I always screw it up.
Well, the thing is, on the birth certificate, there's a line for the kid's name. And it's really long. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like I hadn't named him enough when there was still space left. Right. So I just kept writing names till I got to the end.
Right.
And my son's name is Count Dante Jean-Michel Valentino Bonaducci.
Wow. Why don't you just shorten it to pretentious?
All right, now Count and Countess were my wife's name.
They call them therapy for short.
I wanted to name my kids Doctor and Judge.
Right.
Because I thought that'd be funny.
It's cute.
Yeah. And then we could call by their middle name, but their credit cards and driver's licenses would say doctor and judge. And I thought that'd be cool. Ooh. And Gretchen said, that's stupid. How about Count and Countess? Okay.
Well, so we have a possible Laszlo.
I like that.
I got to admit, I don't like Laszlo either, although I do like Lotsy. But again, you're talking to the wrong guy. I love
Lotsy.
Why
don't we take a 5-minute break?
I like Liam. But somebody else in his family has that name.
Pretentious. Okay. Here's, sadly, you're going to have to tell me this guy's last name.
Oh, no. I can't.
Can you because do it up here?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing.
It's not good.
It's not a good
not
last
gonna
name.
I'm not going to kid you. I'm saddling kids with a very rough name.
Is it like Buttface?
It's a Polish name. It's Polish. Remember the guy? Here's a close. Remember the guy on Barney Miller?
Yeah,
Howitz.
One of my favorite
Wojciechowicz.
Wojciechowicz.
It's a lot like that.
There's a hoe in it?
No, but I'm saying it's long and Polish.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Danny's neither. We need to take ourselves a break. We have your names up on the line. We will get to those. The only reason I'm bringing it up, and everyone else should factor this in when they're naming their own children, not Teresa's, obviously. Last name.
Yeah, it's big.
There's Flo, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corolla, good name. like the name Corolla. I have no problem with that name. Yeah. Adam, good name. But Adam Corolla doesn't work well together.
I think it flows.
No, it audibly flows, but it's confusing because people think I'm Jewish.
Right.
Whereas Corolla's a very Italian name, as we've spoken before. Yeah. My name is
Jewish.
If you were Enzo Corolla, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything. Roberto or Antonio Corolla, you pow. Everyone, no one says, oh, nice to meet you, Antonio Corolla. What's your heritage? What's your nationality? But when you say Adam Corolla, they're confused. So what you've done is it's like Thai food, great. Mexican food, great. But don't mix them. You got a crappy plate. That's what you got in me, people. Quick break. Back more with your names next.
Donuts.
How much are the crawlers?
Same price as 69 cents.
Yay! It's time to make the donuts.
Yes, it is.
Do you make the donuts with your butt?
Whatever you want. It depends upon you what you eat.
So you can make the donuts with your butt?
Yeah, if you want to eat it.
Yay! It's time to make the donuts with your butt.
Yes, why don't come over?
Lady, how much is the plain donuts?
Same price.
What is that?
You don't remember?
No.
That's too bad.
Do you remember?
No.
That's too bad.
Yes, it is.
Well, how much is it?
69 cents.
Yay! It's time to make the donuts.
No problem. Why don't you come over and we'll give you some.
You have crawlers?
We have.
Does anyone ever buy a crawler and put it in their butt?
Well, if you wish to.
Yay! It's time to put a crawler in my butt. Do you have cream donuts?
Yes, we do.
Yay! It's time to make the donuts. Do you have ones with holes in them?
I have all kinds.
Do you ever put your pee-pee in the hole?
Oh, yes.
I want my mommy.
It'll change of heart. These are a bunch of guys average age 40 sitting around a room. Special ed call. Guys who make donuts for a living. What a gig. All right. We were talking about Teresa and what to name her egg.
Yes.
She has one egg left. She's planning on having herself a child.
Mating in 08.
And we're looking for names. Now, I don't want to say the guy's last name because we'd like to keep it private. But it's one of those Polish-y, Winsky-y, Howitz-y, Winsky things, which is a little bit bumpy off the tongue, which, again, you need to know about. You need to factor in the last name. I mean, a lot of people don't do that. The Dick Butkus's parents probably didn't give it a whole lot of thought before they went into that. And, it happens all the time where you go, wow, I can't believe they named... there's a friend of ours that Jimmy can't get over because his name is like, I think it's like Jack Hoff is the guy's last name is Hoff or Hoffman or something. Yes. It's just, you just say Jack Hoff, you know, I mean, it's just anything but Jack. When the last name is Hoff,
you don't do it.
Go ahead and, you take Dick Butkus's and give him the Jack. It's not, you know, there's nothing inherently bad about Jack or Dick. It's just when the last name is that.
Even if there's a separation of letters, like Hasselhoff, I still wouldn't do Jack.
Jack, yeah.
Right.
It doesn't separate it by enough.
Anything a snot-nosed fifth grader can do some quick math on, you're screwed.
I'm not even willing to take the chance on trying to imply this, so I'm going to put it this way.
Yeah.
Helen Hunt.
Right.
As a brother.
Right.
And Mike.
Right. Of course. Of
Who
course.
Would do that?
No one wants that.
Hey, Willow?
Yes.
Parents, hippies?
You want to name somebody Willow?
Yes, that's my name.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like it's worked out.
It has worked out.
What's going on? How tall are you? How old are you? How much you weigh? What do you do for a living?
I work with the mentally disabled. Mm-hmm. I'm a job coach.
Strike one.
5'11".
Yay!
Everything that has the word coach in it is bad except for coach. See, coach is a good gig. Life coach, eating coach, whatever, mentally disabled coach. You know, any coach where you coach someone in something other than a sport's bad.
Well, I love my job.
All right.
I think he should name her egg after me.
Mm-hmm. Willow.
That's pretty.
Because Willow goes with all last names.
You know what? Willow would go well with this last name because they're both W's.
Yeah, it would have the alliteration, yeah. But the name Willow is, and no offense, Willow, because I'm sure it fits you and it's a nice girl's name and everything like that, but it makes you see a picture. It makes me see a sad picture, actually.
Yes.
A weeping Willow. It's foggy out.
You hear willowy, and you think of somebody sort of soft. Skinny.
And then there's the movie with the dwarves.
Do you think Lola would only be good for a first date name, but not for your lawyer? Lola?
You can't name your kid Lola.
Lola's not bad. I know someone who has a Lola.
I like it.
Lola's a tramp.
Yeah. It is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Lola also means grandmother in Tagalog.
Tagalog, you mean the...
Oh, that's Chewbacca there? What was that in the background?
One of my clients.
Oh, no. Special Ed?
Can you put him on the phone?
No, he's nonverbal.
That would be funnier.
Lola and
a lot of people
grunts.
Make that argument with Bonaduce. You didn't stop him. Put Willow, come on, put him on the phone. We won't make fun of him.
Okay, all right.
All right.
Hi.
Hi.
What's his name?
Say hi. Take bathroom. Okay, that was it.
Willow, what's his name?
John.
All right. And how old is John?
John actually just celebrated his 25th birthday.
And why is he with you? Is there some sort of, was it something he was born with? Motorcycle accident?
No, he was born that way.
Do you think John's happy?
Let me ask him, are you happy? He says yes.
Mm-hmm.
Super.
And I have two in the car with me, actually.
No.
That one.
Does one of them want to go to Hawaii?
Well, hey, Willow, let me ask you overall, since you work with folks that are handicapped.
Uh-huh.
I have this feeling that they're secretly happier than we are.
I don't think it's even a secret.
You know what? I bet you John probably has a girlfriend.
I bet you John is 10 times happier than Teresa.
Yep.
And 4 times happier than me.
I would say yes.
I did a lot of work specifically with kids with Down syndrome.
And these guys are players. All these guys that I work with,
the
male
girls
are all players.
Yeah, right. I'm sure they're quite
they have
the Casanova.
All these girlfriends and
they do.
These Down syndrome kids that I worked with were A, really strong, and I don't think they were aware of it, but also always happy. They always seemed happy.
By the way, Willow seems like a lovely person.
Yeah, I've turned the corner on Willow.
Yeah,
Willow,
very strong.
God love you. But look, here's the problem with Willow. Willow is not going to make partner in the law firm or get advanced to CEO of the Fortune 500 company, Willow, too soft.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
It's not versatile enough.
Right. All right. God bless you. But Willow is somebody who takes care of special needs adults.
She's perfect. She's perfectly suited to her name. I love the suggestion from Ryan.
And Willow, we spoke off the air about you doing porn with these guys, and I want to know, I give it a big thumbs up.
Oh, no.
And so
all right, good times.
Please don't tell me they do that.
Well, that's what Willow says. That's how she makes ends meet. Yeah.
So you got to make some extra money.
I'm saying no on Willow, even though the alliteration is nice.
Yeah.
I'm saying no.
All right. We have Ryan, who's a girl. That's kind of a cool name.
That is kind of a cool name.
I love the unisex names.
What do you got, Ryan?
We had a girl. We were going to name her Chloe Rose.
Love it. I love Chloe.
I think Chloe's kind of effed out.
Is it effed out?
You know what? I can't say it, so I would never name mine.
Why? Try it.
I have a lazy L. If it's followed by a consonant, I can't say
it.
Like Chloe. Listen, another word for the thing that fits over your hand, and OJ had to wear one? A glove.
A glove.
No, I'm exaggerating. Glove. Glove.
If it doesn't fit,
yeah,
you must acquit.
So I can't look at your kid all day and go, Chloe.
Chloe's really cute.
Yeah. I think Chloe was cute 5 years ago.
Yeah,
I think it's a little effed out now.
I was talking about this with Bald Brian during the commercial. I love the name Brooklyn, but the Beckham stole it. But he said I can name her Brooke, middle name Lynn.
Pretentious, though.
I know.
Here's the thing. Was okay, but Brooke, Lynn, gay.
Too pretentious.
The thing about a parent.
How dare you?
Here's the fine line. Ultimately, the fine line you have to walk. You want to give your kid a unique name.
Yeah,
you don't
want
to name your kid John or Mary or something like that. You want it to be an interesting, unique name, but at a certain point, it becomes obnoxious
and
becomes more about the parent than about the kid. So you're looking for that name that's interesting, but not ostentatious and obnoxious and garish.
Austin.
Exactly. Ostentatious Howitz.
Oh, I love it.
All right, let's see. Gary. Gary has a semi-retarded suggestion. Gary?
Yes?
What do you have for us?
I have two daughters, and their names are Paisley and Ella Plum.
Yeah.
Oh, Ella's pretty.
I could talk to John from the minivan. He'll give me better suggestions than this.
We actually call her Ella Plum.
Ella Plump. Is Plum her middle name?
Plum. It is a middle name, but we call her Ella Plum.
Mm. Why Plum?
Is she named after Eve Plum from the Brady Bunch?
I don't think so.
Is she a great big fan person?
The deal was when we got married was my wife got to name the girls and I got to name the boys, and we had two girls.
Good deal. So right after the ultrasound, she made that deal with you.
No, this was actually before we got married.
All right, so she named it Paisley.
It just sounds like you're not healthy.
Yeah, it sounds like Brian, pasty.
It doesn't look so good to me.
I would err on the side of boring, like Katie or Maggie.
Mm-hmm. I would err on the side of boring.
Mm. Ah, about Patsy? You don't hear any Patsies.
No,
I'm sorry.
But it has another meaning.
Yeah.
A Patsy. In mob terms.
In anything. You're a punk. You're a person I can trick into doing things.
Patsy girl, though, not bad. You got your Patsy Cline and your Patsy Kensicks, you know?
It has good.
I don't like it.
Why is there a Patsy associated with the JFK thing? Who do they call a Patsy?
Lee Harvey Oswald is a Patsy. Okay. And that they believe that he was set up.
Hey, Shavaz.
Well, that's it. Answers that
one. Close. It's Chevis, like Chevis Regal.
Chevis. All right. What do you have?
Well, see, like me, my whole family, we all have messed up names. My father's Pericles, my mother's Natra, my sister's Shade, my brother's Trenton, right?
Yeah.
And then I got Chevis. Well, I had a...
Definitely not a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I had to keep the same thing with my boys. Mm. So I have two boys. One is named Shane Evolution. And it's Shane with C-H, not S-H.
Oh.
And then the other boy is Corbin Xavier.
Corbin's not bad.
Yeah. Corbin's not too bad.
Corbin we got from The Fifth Element.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like that movie. But I have a question. Why is somebody Pericles, who I believe it's an ancient Greek name, right?
Correct.
Sounds like it.
I think that I've got him confused with... It's not Pericles Bound, is it?
No,
Prometheus.
God of crappy names.
But you got Pericles, who is it's an ancient Greek and powerful name, and then Trenton, which is a terrible city in New Jersey, whose slogan is Trenton makes the world takes. Why would you do that?
That was my father. That wasn't me.
Yeah. But at least you can call the guy Trent.
Yeah.
That's not bad, Trent.
Which is not a bad name if you have a son.
And I like Shane, but the C-H, come on.
Well, the reason why I did that is because the first two letters is my name. The last three letters is my wife's name.
Maybe I'm dating myself here, but if you name your kid Shane, every time they go to leave anywhere, somebody's going to say, come back, Shane. Come back.
Yeah, not in about 4 months, though, because that reference is almost done with.
35 years old, I would think.
Easily. Here's the problem. The real problem is everyone wants to give everyone a cool name.
Yeah.
And you give these names, the blacks are out of control with it, but whitey's following, too.
Yeah.
And they give these people these names, and you go, wow, that's a really unique name. What is that, what does that name mean? And they go, it means proud warrior. And you're like, wow, that's cool. Indeed. Now, could you hurry up with that Cinnabon? I got to make a flight.
Right.
So you're reading the guy's name tag or the chick's name tag, which is like Zuzamba Gubaba, and you're like, wow, that's a really cool name. And they're making $3.99, and you tip them a nickel, and they grab it with both hands, bite it, and stuff it into their apron.
They have that multicolored hat, and they serve fresh squeezed lemonade.
They're proudly at war with the cash register.
Yeah, so you're like, hey, proud warrior, how about you burn a few more calories on the lemonade churn, and this hot dog's overdone on one side? Let me talk to your manager. What's the name for Proud Warrior Manager? Just manager? Okay, put him on. Yeah, so I have all these retards out there with these names that mean warrior and princess and goddess and all that, except for there are too many of them, and there are only so many goddess gigs last time I checked.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Speaking of gods, Scott Baio.
A wonderful young man.
Scott Baio is coming in studio next. Scott Baio is 45 and single. I've been watching it on VH1. Sundays, it's 10:30 p.m., but what I do is we TiVo it. And my wife and I watch it in bed. And it's actually one of a good, it's good for both of us because she gets to watch Scott Baio doing a reality show and I get to sit there and go, see, you see, I could have been doing that. I didn't do that.
It's nice to have you switch from me.
Sure, I don't pay attention, but see, yeah, I used to do it with Breaking Bonaducci. My wife enjoyed it because it was compelling TV and I enjoyed it because I got to sit there going, see,
see.
See,
you, could be
you, see, you could have been married to that and say, guy, I'd usually leave it at that. You could be married to that. And I would do a long pause.
It beats it.
It's that had three lines under it. You see, you could be married to that. That's how I would say. Made me look good as opposed to all those crappy dating shows where the guy never gets off his one knee and never starts composing songs and sonnets and poems, in which case my wife looks at me and goes, hey, what the F? When's the last time you busted out a six string and did a little serenade underneath the balcony, Cyrano? This is one of those shows. Bonaducci's, well, he's not on anymore, but Baio is. We'll take a quick break. Back with Scott Baio next.
Sunday nights on VH1, Scott Baio is 45 and single.
The thing with Connie is that she's pretty much the female version of me. That's probably why we felt so comfortable having casual sex for so many years.
You and I were lovers and then not, and then were and then not.
It was also very sterile and uneventful.
Sterile
in the sense you're not passionate. That's what I mean by sterile. Conversations are short. You're just brief. Everything you do is just brief.
Scott Baio was 45 and single.
And Scott Baio is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Scott.
Thank you, Adam. Good to see all you.
Oh, yeah, man.
Good,
hey,
man.
Nice
to see you again.
Thank you. And
quick,
you as well.
Quick Scott Baio story that has nothing to do with having sex with beautiful women, believe it or not.
Yeah, about the time I did it with him.
Jimmy's wife, we'll save that for the end of the break. Jimmy Kimmel's wife, Gina, ex-wife, I should say, Gina, said... You can verify this or deny it. She said, oh, I asked Scott Baio to come by the San Gennaro Feast, which is something we do every year. And she said, Scott said, yeah, that's what I want to do. Sit in a parking lot with a bunch of guys and eat brojol in 104 degree temperatures out in the San Fernando Valley.
Sounds like something I would say. I don't know those exact words.
And you know what? But I got a laugh out of it.
The fact that she knew how to say brojol correctly.
Yes.
It probably sounds like me.
Well, part of the reason Jimmy and her got divorced is just because she mispronounced brojol one time.
That's grounds.
So Scott Baio is 45 and single. I watch it. I TiVo it. I watch it Sunday mornings,
like
as
it,
I mentioned. I love it.
Thank you.
I think it's a really well done show. And I must say, though, I'm a sucker for that format. I don't like sitcoms. I don't like dramas. I like things that either have happened or are going to happen, but I like documentaries essentially, and this is a documentary about somebody you've been watching for 30 years, and but a documentary. But I, you know, everyone always knows all the stories about the womanizing and the relationship stuff, but I'm just curious in the overall story. You got started young. Your parents were born in Italy?
No, my grandparents.
Your grandparents were born in Italy. You grew up where, and how did you get started, and what was the first thing? And was it an Ovaltine commercial?
No. I grew up in Brooklyn, right at the base of the Verrazzano Bridge, at the foot of the Verrazzano Bridge. And I have an older cousin who was very big in the commercial world, and I just, honestly, Adam, I just wanted to see myself on television.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother took me into the city begrudgingly took me to my cousin's agent and manager, and they started sending me out on auditions, which I hated.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were how old?
I was 9.
Did you do a Cracker Jack commercial?
No.
Is that what I'm... What is it? What am I picturing you from?
I did do an Ovaltine commercial, but that wasn't the thing that started. That wasn't my first commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first commercial I ever did was... a commercial for Age of Discovery magazine, and the commercial took place in Yankee Stadium during a doubleheader, and I was like, Well, this is about the best, and I got to take off school. I was like, this is about the best day of my life.
Right.
And I realized that I like to do this for a living, but hated everything else about it. Didn't want to audition, didn't want to go meet people, didn't want to eat fake candy bars, didn't want to drink chocolate milk.
Right.
But I just wanted to be on television.
Well, here's the problem.
But not in a weird way. I just want to watch myself, not because I'm an egomaniac. I thought it would be cool because I grew up watching television.
But do you think this is a fair statement?
No.
Because I think we all go through this, which is you want to make a whole bunch of money for doing nothing or not real work.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the same way. You want to have sex with a bunch of hot women that you couldn't have sex with if you were working on the bridge you grew up underneath.
Was that my reason for doing it? Is that what you're asking me?
Then there's this downside where people talk about you, where people point at you. You're a private guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So on one hand, I'm not,
let me see if I,
yeah.
You know, I didn't get into it for that because I was nine. I didn't know what all that was. My father provided for us. My mother took care of us. And I did a couple of commercials. And then I think as you get older, I did a movie called Bugsy Malone.
I remember that.
Saw it in the theater.
When I was about 13. And that was the best playtime any kid could ever have. And I remember thinking, boy, they're paying me $325 a week for doing this. This is the best gig ever.
Yeah, for shooting a gun that fires shaving cream. Yeah.
Who else was in that movie?
Jodie Foster.
Right.
Who played my girlfriend. You and I, in the Punisher, you and I have so much in common with the grandparents from Italy and young in TV, except how come me and Todd Bridges got heavily armed and took crack, and you just got a bunch of chicks? Where'd we go wrong?
Are you asking me seriously?
Yes.
Are you close with your parents?
Not particularly.
Okay.
Is that the answer?
I think so.
I was not close with my father at all.
Well, you said your dad provided. What did Pops Baio do?
My dad was an entrepreneurial guy. He passed away in March. He had a lot of different businesses, restaurants and car washes. I mean, he was a very, very sharp guy. But
to say the mob will save some time.
He was involved a little. But
your parents stayed together.
My parents were married for 53 years, and my father, very early on, I knew that if I messed around with this guy, he'd take me out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Period. Mm. And he said to me, if there ever comes a day where you can take me in a fight, I'll shoot you.
God rest his soul.
And I knew that guy, there was no messing with him on any level. So if my head ever got a little out of line, he'd say, hey, you know who we are. Take it easy.
I was right about the mob. Well, let me ask you.
Make them up.
It's not true. It's not true.
Way to play that down. My dad put a hit out on me when I was 13. Let me float another theory,
please.
Do you think the problem that you're having in commitment and relationships is not having rules or too much too soon? Here's my point. A lot of guys who have trouble in relationships come from broken families. Mm-hmm. Your parents were together. So by nature and by nurture, you should have been married for 20-something years by
already.
Now.
Yes.
And if you had a civilian job, I bet you would have.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
But when you have the kind of options that are thrown at you and have been since you hit puberty,
yeah.
It warps you a little bit. I know that's not a kind word,
but it changes
your perspective, right?
Absolutely. Because for me, what happened was the generosity of women to people who were on television or have. I hung out with Billy Idol one night, by the way. I was invisible.
Right.
I might have been wood. Yeah.
I hung out with Fabio once.
So okay, but my point is that. You learn quickly that if you're with a beautiful woman and she gives you any aggravation, you know, if you look 1 inch to your left, there's another beautiful chick.
Right.
Oh, excuse me.
Right.
I'll see you later. And you just move to the next girl.
Sad commentary is that when you said you date women out of your league, Scott is very, very handsome. And remember when he was chaunching all that, he was a heartthrob.
Sure.
The sad commentary is I was a fat, redheaded kid, and that still applied.
Oh, yeah.
I could be with a beautiful woman, and she was imminently replaceable
this
in this town. Because I lived in Hollywood and made a living here.
What you're saying is if there's any conflict, if you're with Pamela Anderson and she gives you conflict,
you
don't work it out, you just move on.
And also, by the way, and you all, everybody knows this, and it works both ways. The beauty leaves. All of a sudden, you're with a person you think is a giant pain in the ass. Yes. It doesn't matter what they look like in the morning. If they look like, you know, the goddess of love, you don't. It's like, oh, no, I can't look at this girl.
You get over the aesthetic pretty quickly in almost everything.
So yeah, but it did screw me up because it was so easy. Yeah.
Right, absolutely. And I I don't blame you for that. I grew up.
I don't blame you for that either.
No, yeah.
No, but I was interested when I was watching Scott Baio's 45 and Single on
Sunday nights at 10:30, season finale.
Page one. When I was watching it, I was thinking, I wonder what created this monster. And then I realized it's not his parents' fault. His parents are together. His parents were hardworking mafiosa types who installed a good work ethic into Scott through intimidation.
So that makes sense.
But this is not a nature nurture thing. This is a societal thing. Normally, I focus on nature and nurture. Once in a while, this is society, and it's all relative. If you grow up and you're making 500 grand a year when you're 15 years of age, then a job where you make 200 grand a year at age 20 doesn't sound so great. Right. If you work at a McDonald's, it sounds like manna from heaven, but it doesn't sound great if you're Scott Baio. And yes, the options in life. Mm-hmm. So important, because everyone wants to talk about soulmates, partners for life. It's all about options. Again, back to the job. You could have the world's greatest job, but if you know there's a slightly better job that's waiting out there versus
that's open and
unemployment, how much crap are you going to take from your boss?
Nothing.
Yeah, but the other thing is with the, he's got a $500,000 job at 15 and then a $200,000 job doesn't look so good. There's another part of this conversation, because I just had it the other night. We were talking about fame versus money, and I said fame trumps money.
Yes.
Fame trumps money in what you can get. And I pointed at a guy at the bar, and I said, let's say he's a $20 billion oil baron. You don't know. But you look at me and you think, oh, that's the guy from the partner show. He had that other show. He's probably had a couple of million bucks, and it's huge. They know stuff about you, where there's a real big gun at the bar, but nobody knows. Right. You know everything about Scott when you see him.
Right? Yeah, if Scott Baio's wearing a Rolex, you assume it's a real Rolex, as opposed to the J.O. at the end of the bar, who could be wearing a real Rolex worth twice as much.
Wearing a Breitling today, but let's not be picky.
Point is you know it's real versus the other guy could have got his at Old Navy when he was walking out the parking lot.
There are ups and downs. There are positives and negatives.
Right, but here's the real question, Scott, since you're 45 and single. Yes. Have you been ruined? Have you been affected to such a point where you can no longer have that dream your parents wanted for you in relationships?
Yes, I have. But I am completely in doing this show that we just finished season one. I know that I have this problem, but I know what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I feel myself getting that I feel myself having that thought again, I go, well, this is just that.
Mm-hmm.
This is just me constantly looking, and I think it's what I learned throughout this show, and you see it in the season finale on Sunday, is that my thing, and we talked about earlier, is I'm just always looking for the next best thing.
Right.
And I'm looking for the perfect thing.
Right.
And you have to realize that perfect doesn't exist.
And when you don't find it, are you aware of that? I mean, because I'm guessing Dahmer said to himself one day, you know, the problem is that I enjoy eating human flesh.
Right.
But it didn't stop him. And you say, now I'm aware what the problem is.
Yeah.
Is it going to stop you?
Yeah, it stopped me because I will completely be let down if I don't stop. Every girl I'm with, I will be always let down.
Right.
And I just have to be with somebody that is good to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the process, the therapeutic process goes, you first have to identify there's a problem. You usually go from zero to about 35, denying you have any problems.
Absolutely.
Then at some point, you slowly stumble on to what the problem that's plaguing you is, and then you wrestle with it for about 10 years, and then hopefully at some point, you never quite master it, you just get it under control.
Yeah, you manage it. It's almost like, and I don't want to say, it's not like being an alcoholic or anything, but it has, I don't know what that's like, but I'm sure it's kind of the same. You always You always look
one day at a time.
Yeah, and any time you watch the show in episode one, the girl tells me what my problem is, which was 7-8 weeks ago, looking for the next best thing.
Right.
And all there really is the next thing.
Right.
Because she's going to be, and I mean this lovingly and not misogynistically.
Right.
She's going to be as big a pain in the ass, if not bigger, than the one before.
And the beauty fades, you say.
And the beauty goes away in about a week.
So you have to decide whether you're doing a season two, and the show's successful, but it is based on you being single, right, and the woman who you've been apart from must not want a season two because she doesn't want to hear that Scott Baio is still 45 and still single,
all
or now 46
you,
and single.
I'll tell you this, Adam. The end of the Sunday night's episode, which is the season finale.
Sunday night, 10:30, VH1.
Goes in a direction that completely blew everybody out of their shoes.
Really?
Yeah.
So you will zig when we zag. We will not expect what's coming.
No.
All right, Scott, I hear you have to go down to
I got 4 more minutes.
KTLA.
Well, before you go, KTLA. Let me say that. You and I have the same boss, Claire McKay. And she said if I referred to Claire, as queen of the world, she said, she promised me this, and I'm doing it right now, that I could remove my title as executive producer and have the word genius.
Nice.
My credit.
Oh, nice.
If I would call her queen of the world, my show now says Danny Bonaducci, genius.
Okay, wait.
So thank you for that moment.
Claire McCabe, queen of the world.
Thank
Claire
you.
McCabe, queen of the world.
One last question for Scott Baio. Is Aaron Moran either going insane or turning into a man? There seems to be something wrong with Aaron Moran.
Listen, she got her act together. We made up.
She seems like she's going to bite somebody.
What's going on with her?
I don't honestly. She did the show, and prior
Scott.
To that, I'm being straight with you guys, and you don't know me. You know me a little bit. Mm-hmm.
I know you.
I'm not lying to you. I did not speak with her for. We did the Happy Days reunion. prior to that, and even during that, I didn't speak to her for 10 or 12 years.
Well,
and I didn't keep tabs on what she was doing. I don't know.
Earlier, you compared
eating and drugs, I'm guessing.
Yes, your problem to alcoholism, and I got to tell you, the upshot of alcoholism is actually you can drink till Aaron Moran looks exactly like Heather Locklear. It's the best part. Okay. It's the best part of being a drunk.
You better overpower a guard at the Budweiser factory because you ain't going to find that much booze at a liquor
My
store.
My wife once said, I swear to God, this is true. Maybe why I'm getting a divorce. She said, why do you drink so much? And I looked at her because I was mad, and I said, because I can drink till you're interesting.
Wow.
Well, I hope things go well for you. I have a feeling, what if season two, Scott Baio, 45 and married?
And happy.
I know they want it bad. VH1 wants you bad.
Can't tell you what it is, but it makes a huge left or right turn depending on which way you're looking
Scott,
at the world.
Scott, do me a favor.
Yes, sir.
Bring your lovely, I'll just go out on a limb and call her your fiance or wife to the San Gennaro Feast this year.
I ran into a guy named Mario something or other at the Jersey Boys show, which is the
good
greatest show ever.
Good show.
Mario
ever
sort of looks like you, right?
Yes, he does, but uglier.
Yes.
And
Scott does look great.
Yes, he
looks good.
And when is it? September something.
I don't know.
Did I miss it?
His kid's middle name.
I don't know that. Brajol, but I'll go.
But listen, Kimmel will hit you up. There's like three Italian guys in all of Los Angeles.
Know,
you got to go represent.
Danny,
me, you, Danny, and Tommy Lasorda standing there for 4 hours.
You're Jimmy's half, right? Are you all Italian, Danny?
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am.
So funny. People ask me about by the way, do you remember where we met?
The first time?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe so.
At the Starwood.
Oh,
on Crescent Heights in Santa Monica.
Oh, back.
Was there just white crap falling out of my nose?
Free AIDS, post AIDS.
No, I walked in the front, and I don't know how, what was I, 18, 17?
Yeah, so I was probably 20, 21.
And I walked in the door, and it was Danny's thing. I went, oh, hey, how you doing? He's like, hey, man, what's happening? Like, nothing, hanging out, and I walked in, and that was it.
It's like that movie Foxes, but with dudes.
But you know what I always say this about? I know you do have to go, but I always tell this one story about Scott, and I'll tell it again. When I was, like, down and out and living on the streets and was filthy, and you could tell to look at me that I was homeless. You knew.
Mm-hmm.
Scott pulled up at a red light in a Mercedes, and things were going great for him, and I thought, here's his chance to make me feel awful.
Was there anyone else in the car?
No.
No chick.
By himself.
That you could see.
There was a chick in the car. I happen to know that.
He yes, rolled down the window and spoke to me for the longest time, saying he's like a fan of your work, Danny. I remember meeting you at the Starwood, and you took your really good time to make me feel like that guy's still treating me like a human being. He knows I have nowhere to go, nowhere to take a shower. That stuck with me. What a nice guy you are ever since then.
Then he gave me $5 and said he missed a spot on the windshield.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Scott Baio, everyone. We'll see you at the San Gennaro. We'll take a quick break. Def Rap Guy in studio next.
Right. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's another summer safety tip with the Def Rap Guy.
I'm Maverick, the Def Rap Guy, here to give you just the tip. When barbecuing this summer, make sure to cook meats to a proper temperature in order to avoid salmonella. One time Moose got food poisoning and totally had the runs. He was shamming, which is a combination of shitting and vomiting.
Thanks, Mav. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Just having a laugh because I'm looking at the card that Bald Brian prepared. And whatever the first question I ask the guest is usually the only thing that's wrong on the card, because, of course, the card says parents from Italy.
Yeah.
And then it starts off with, oh, your parents born in Italy?
No.
Occasionally we'll get an official bio on the person, and then last night I didn't get it till around 9:45, 10 o'clock at night.
I just want to, you are a smart man who doesn't screw up very often. I just want to know how it is that I can pick out, there's always 10 bullet points. I usually don't talk about any of them, but the one I decide to pick out is always the one that's wrong. I'm hoping.
Yeah, I try to find the interesting stuff, and you can't always find interesting stuff on the confirmed bio, so I got to dig a little bit.
Brian likes to make up interesting, erroneous stuff.
Yeah.
It's great for the interview. No? All right. Let's not live in the past. Let's talk about the future. Future named Maverick. Def Rap Guy in studio.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Great to talk to you, Mav.
I'm a little bummed out right now.
What's the problem?
I met Scott Baio. He's one of my heroes.
Great guy.
Oh, you didn't see him out in the hall there?
I did. I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And Zapped is one of the best movies ever.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Zapped is a great movie from the late 80s, I would say, mid-late 80s.
It's a film.
Yeah, it's not a movie. Sorry. It's not fair to call it a movie. Right. It's 84 minutes of film. It's awesome. Scott points his fingers at hot chicks and their skirts lift up through the magic of fishing wire.
Huh. Right. That's the thesis of the movie?
You've never seen Zabbed?
No. Zabbed.
Did you not? You didn't have any film classes in college where you broke down?
We waste a lot of time on Citizen Kane and All About Eve.
Remember the famous scene where Marilyn Monroe's dress blows up in New York City? He can make that happen. Oh. And does.
With his finger. Yeah, it's hot. Had hot chicks.
And their underwear.
It was back in the day, in the 80s, they'd make a movie, there would be the hot blonde evil chick, and there would be the hotter brunette who was not evil, except for she had glasses,
right?
So you couldn't tell how hot she was.
Yeah. Would she take them off eventually?
Toward the end of the movie, she would take her glasses off and then reveal.
And sway her head.
Hollywood has this thing with glasses like, hey, we couldn't tell that Superman because he's in an office and he's wearing glasses.
Right.
Like when one of your buddies forgets his contacts and shows up, and you're going to meet him in a restaurant. Who are you, dude? I'm supposed to meet Keith here.
I've been waiting for 45 minutes.
And
I
then he pulls his little wireframe glasses off and you go, Keith, it is you.
Wow.
Wow.
I always had my suspicions, Keith.
Yes, you show me a hot chick in glasses, and I will say, there's a super hot chick wearing glasses. Sorry, man.
The word I was thinking of, and there's no sign language word for this, but the word is telekinesis.
That's what Scott Baio would use to lift the skirts of the chicks and zap. Yeah.
There's no word.
Right, there's no
sign language.
Yeah, no, nothing for that. So your hero, Scott Baio.
But I'm a little bummed out because he said, are you Austrian?
The accent.
Right.
I mean, the dialect there.
Yeah.
whatever
impediment.
What it is. Yeah, yeah, it does. To some people, especially, you know, if they're walking past you in a hall, it might sound like something other than,
you know what,
impediment.
In all fairness, and I'm not making fun of you and never would, we've buried the hatchet, we're friends, but if you would say, I'll be back, I think we could tell an Austrian accent from the world's most famous Austrian actor line.
Danny makes a pretty good point.
I'll be back.
I'll be back.
The inflection was a little
different. Yeah, the inflection was different, but I could see how Mr. Bayo might make that mistake. Yeah.
I'll be back.
Yeah. All right. Well, the point is Mr. Bao's a busy man. You got to at least be in the same. You're sitting in the same chair he was in, you know, only moments earlier. So, yeah, that's got to be exciting.
No, it is cool. That dude's had his bag worked more than a dunk. I don't know what, but a lot.
Yeah, he's been with a lot of ladies. Yeah. Yeah, must be a hero over at the frat.
I'm really bummed out right now, though, bro.
What's up?
I was supposed to get his autograph for Bobby Canning.
Who's Bobby Canning? The kid?
He's the progeria kid.
Dude.
I don't mean to laugh.
I also was not supposed to say this, dude, but Danny, I don't normally screw up, but I did. You said that, I thought you said Bobby Canning was a soccer person.
Bobby Canning was a soccer person?
You said he was a scrotum person.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I thought you said he was a soccer person.
Oh. People who suffer from progeria, they age prematurely, so little kids often look like elderly people.
Oh, right.
Which I described as they get wrinkly and their hair gets, you know, thinner and thinner, and they eventually look like scrotums with eyes.
But, dude, Bobby's not too psyched about that, bro.
Right, now I understand. Bobby's a guy you met in camp, over summer camp, when you were working with his kids in camp, and then you'd mentioned that they would use Bobby to buy beer because he looked so much older.
Right,
and he didn't get carded. Right.
Yeah, but dude, he's also a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. Right?
Yeah, I know, but he's 40 pounds.
You've never met a tough bantamweight or flyweight.
Well, yeah, but this guy's well under 100 pounds. Look, I'm sure he's a trooper. It's the heart of a lion. And, you know, Danny apologizes for, you know, the...
I didn't hear anything. Pun intended.
Well, yeah, well, actually, no offense meant, but the reason you didn't hear an apology is because I didn't. I don't mean any harm.
Why are you putting words in Danny's mouth?
Well, I'm trying to move forward here, and I know Bobby listens to the show, and I feel bad. He's got a pretty bad hand dealt to him.
You shouldn't have said he looked like a scrotum, Danny.
Well, I disagree. I believe he looks like a scrotum, but even if I didn't, I would say, like we have said 100 times before, it says comedy at the door. If I thought it was funny and meant no malice, I don't owe anybody an apology.
Artistic license, they call it, Maverick.
Now, if the kid's feelings are personally hurt, I will personally apologize to the scrotum kid, but I don't feel bad in general that I said something. If I hurt one guy's feelings, Bobby, is it Bobby? I'm sorry you look like a scrotum, and if it hurts you, I will never say it again. But I was going for the joke, and that's my job, and I did it.
And I'll give you this, bro. You got a big set of balls on you, bro. Because you don't know, you are in grave danger.
Uh-oh. Bobby retaliating?
He's a purple belt.
He's 40 pounds.
He's in juvenile hall right now in Boston, but he's coming out here because he wants to be a jockey.
Why did they put him in juvie?
Wait a minute. To be a jockey?
Because
he's 40 pounds.
He saw the movie Seabiscuit.
Right.
They're just going to duct tape him to the horse.
I think we're misinterpreting. He wants to be in a jock because he looks like a scrotum.
Oh, no.
When he gets out of juvie, he is going to open a can of whoop ass on you.
For buying beer? Did he get busted for that?
Danny, Bobby needed some money. And
yeah.
He did what you do where he's from. He stole a couple of car stereos or two.
I see. So he stole a couple or two car stereos. He got popped. He's really like one of the Wahlbergs, really, you know? And so he gets busted.
Bobby's from Southie. You're either tough from being there or you do not survive.
Right.
All right, so he's from Boston. He has progeria. He's a purple belt. He's 40 pounds. He's going to get out of juvie. He's going to kick Bonaducci's ass, and then he's going to become a jockey.
This is like the Departed all over again.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So is Diff Rat Guy, Mav, do we want to give a plug for the website? I see you wearing your Cougar Crossing shirt again.
I forgot to tell you that my new shirt's beer bongs arrived, and there's a whole rainbow of colors. I have different color schemes.
How's the cougar fur selling? Is the cougar fur selling well?
Yeah, those are the cougar fur. I forgot to bring that in because I wanted to get Scott Baio to autograph the bottle.
Yeah, he could probably bless it like the Pope of Snatch or something. I mean, he really is officially that.
I think of it, if you got some of Baio's fur and mixed it in, imagine all by proxy.
Turbocharging.
All by proxy, the cougar fur that it has touched.
Yeah, Mav brought in one of his latest money-making schemes, which is the cougar fur, sort of the aphrodisiac, what were we talking about?
Spanish
the Spanish fly back in days of yore. Mm-hmm. Do you have any names, by the way, for Teresa's babies? We were talking about it earlier before we break.
Oh, yeah, for my eggs?
Yeah.
For a boy, I really like the name Smitty.
That's your friend.
Smitty? That's your friend. That's one of your frat buddies.
Or Poochie.
That's another.
If you say boy, Poochie, a girl, Coochie.
I don't know.
And also, bro, the reason why Adam and I get along so well is because we both love this name for a boy.
What? Mm.
Dutch.
Dutch, yeah.
Dutch is
Dutch.
Good. I like Dutch.
Dutch. It's right. Old school.
Yeah.
He'll kick your ass and then buy you a beer.
Hey,
that's
how
Dutch.
Come you're holding out on me? You never mentioned Dutch.
I forgot about Dutch, but
forgot
thank...
your own child's middle name.
Well, that too.
Inventor of the world's greatest oven, too.
That's right.
The Dutch oven. Nothing rocks like that on about the third date. See if she really likes you.
Dutch is a great man, a great oven builder, and a proud American. Yeah, I'd go with Dutch.
Dutch is great.
And Dutch is nice and short because you have the long, drawn-out Polish last name.
But I associate it with dividing the bill, and I don't like that.
No.
See, if you want to go in a weird way, you go Dutch Schultz, mm-hmm. the criminal.
On Jew-ass, we divide the bill. You have the appetizer, why don't you pay for that?
But they'll probably end up calling him the Duke. Which is very cool.
Duke's cute.
Go Dutch.
Dutch
I agree with
name.
That Def Rat Guy. All right, so DefRatGuy.com.
Yeah, and I will have pictures of the new shirts. There's a whole, what's
rainbow.
The word? Yeah.
Rainbow?
Rainbow of colors.
Uh-huh.
And schemes.
That's the beer bong shirt.
The beer bong. And I also got a new load of cougar shirts.
Cougar Crossing.
They're great shirts.
But I don't know why people are not buying the mediums.
They're not buying the
That's
mediums.
That's weird.
Just write XL on them and they'll go.
And I did do this for FYI. Yeah. For Bobby, I took a medium and I washed it on high water heat, dried it like 10, 15 times, got a nice size. So Bobby, hell yeah, bro.
So you shrunk it down for him.
I got
That's
a question.
Sweet.
Do you bother to iron the shirt of a kid with pejuria? Or do you just hand it to him all right?
Bobby irons.
Wow. He gets a purple belt, Danny.
Dude, he's a he wears the tightly. I mean, Bobby irons his jeans. He's that kind
right.
of dude.
Mm-hmm.
You will not see him out looking bad.
No, but I wear skin tight clothes because I think I'm in good shape and I want to show off. And I'm wondering if you wear skin tight clothes, are they still wrinkled?
You got a set of balls on you, bro.
He's a purple belt and he's in juvie.
You really are a grave danger, dude. And look. We buried the hatchet, dude.
Yeah, you and I are good.
But I don't have that like sadistic Irish temper that Bobby has.
Right.
Yeah, you won't be able to save Danny from Bobby once he gets out here
Especially
from Boston.
If he has friends. The Southies are bad. Yeah. I'll give him that. If he has friends, I'm in trouble.
All right, well, keep us posted, Mav. And again,
how many friends do you think a guy that looks like a scrotum has, though?
I can name two. DefRatGuy.com is where you go.
One more shout out to the guys up at Delano State Penitentiary, the guys up at Folsom, the Delta Foods, and also Bobby wanted to give a shout out to his homeboys at the Old Colony Projects in South Boston.
All right. We'll take a break. T, the news when we come back. What's in it?
Simon Cowell's got a new project and the weirdest laws in the world.
We'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight at 6:30 on DIY. Don't watch, grow it and mow it. Basic lawn maintenance chores such as mowing, fertilizing, and aerating are discussed. At 8 on ESPN Classic, be sure to miss Classic Bull Riding, the 1997 National Circuit Finals from Pocatello, Idaho. And at 8:30 on LMN, definitely don't watch He Sees You When You're Sleeping. A shallow stockbroker killed in a freak accident must protect a mother and a daughter from mobsters in order to get to heaven. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I like those movies they made a thousand of from by 1965 to 1990 where somebody dies, but you didn't quite get to go to heaven. You have to go back to Earth and perform. Here's the deal.
With the Jew.
St. Peter. No deals with the Ace Man. If I get in based on the merits of my life, then so be it. I don't want any, you know, I don't want any summer school. You know what I mean? Like, if I go to heaven, I'm standing at the pearly gates, and St. Peter's like, hey, Ace Man, you were good, but not great. Look, all you have to do is go back down to Earth and find yourself a homeless guy, and I'll be like, just send me to hell. Let's just go to hell. No, really, just go down there, and you have to give him self-esteem, and you'll be his guardian.
Hell.
Let's go to hell.
Yeah.
Let's go to hell.
The idea of hell scares me if it's real. Because in the attempt to save my marriage, one of the things I did was go to church all the time with my Christian wife. And I tried, and I was getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of hell really bugged me after I saw the movie Hellraiser.
Oh,
I had fish hooks through my eyes for eternity.
Well, my deal with then St. Peter will be, I got to go down and check out hell.
Yeah, that would be an okay deal.
If it's super boring and there's a bunch of folks from the planet that annoyed me when I was there that are there, then we can talk about me going back to Earth. But I don't like the part where there's more work. I mean, we do enough work when we're alive. Am I right, people?
Yeah.
Do we need work to do after we're dead, for the love of Christ?
I didn't make up the slogan, I'll rest when I'm dead.
Yes, the one perk of dying is not having to work anymore.
Exactly.
There's no alarm clock in a coffin. T.
Yes.
What's going on in the news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
There was work in the afterlife. Bonaducci would be late.
Oh, you're
right. Yeah, but he's buying us all breakfast.
45 I know. Seconds and it's costing me $28.
Wow.
50 cents a second.
Yeah, that's enough, man. Fair enough. I'm furious at myself for it.
Oh, let's not live in the past, T.
Yes.
The news.
Yesterday, Michael Vick accepted a plea agreement on charges relating to his dogfighting operation. Unclear what the exact terms of the agreement are, but CNN is claiming that Vick was offered a deal including 18 to 36 months. It's really looking like he's going to do some time. Meanwhile, his Atlanta Falcons teammate, wide receiver Joe Horn, explains how his relationship with Michael Vick has been affected.
I don't want to say that I feel betrayed, and I don't want to say that Michael Vick still won't be a part of this football team. I pray to God every night that he is, because I care about Michael Vick as a person, not as an athlete that can run up and down the football field and make plays. I love Michael Vick as a friend, and I'm going to always be his friend. People go through things in life, and you can't throw stones when you live in a glass house.
Sure, we all go through the dog fighting and torturing phase.
Right, sure.
We've all been through it. I remember those years. Let's not judge.
You move on.
Yeah, who hasn't gone through a phase in their life where they tortured animals for a long period of time in their property?
Oh, God, yeah, of course.
There may be some things that you don't know about Michael Vick. That was what he was asked long ago, and ESPN has been running this clip. Let's take a listen.
Tell me three things that people may not know about Michael Vick.
Three things. I love animals, love fishing, and I'm a mama's boy.
I love animals. Back in the day.
By the way, these guys, is it possible to be sort of physically capable and not just be a complete retard?
I love animals.
I mean, these guys, all they do is fish and golf for 8 months because they make so much money they don't have to work, obviously. During the off season, but fishing and golfing every day? Is there no business you want to start up? Would you like to continue your education? I mean, you have unlimited funds and unlimited time.
Right.
The world is your oyster. You can do whatever you want. You could get yourself a master's degree in anything you want with that kind of money and that kind of time, or you could learn five languages. You just want to fish and golf. You're a 28-year-old guy who's fishing all day long, and your brain is just cooking out in the sun. Fishing, there's two things that make you into a retard. Fishing and surfing.
Yeah.
Surfing is...
What is it about surfing? You're
absolutely
right.
Well, what if you're attracted to both of those if you're already not intelligent?
It's good if you're slow to be attracted to other slow-moving things, like sitting on a lake and drinking beer and having your brain fry out in the sun all day long.
I love animals.
He loves them animals.
I love getting them on a hook.
Yep, some would say too much. Fishing and golfing and torturing dogs, those are the... Those are his pastimes.
Well, here in America, it's illegal to orchestrate a dogfight. In France, there's something you can't do with your pig.
Mm.
You cannot name it Napoleon.
Really?
Illegal.
That's so weird. I was going to say the name Napoleon earlier when we were talking about things you can't name your kid because it's taken.
I know. I've known a kid named Napoleon. He's called Nappy.
Well,
he was.
You want to be fired? Name your kid that.
Good name for TSV.
More like Waxy.
You can't. Why can't you name your kid Napoleon? I mean, your pig Napoleon.
It's
France.
Illegal in France. I guess there's still some respect for the Napoleon Bonaparte.
Well, they have a whole big war museum for him over there. His palace is over there. So I guess they're big fans of Napoleon. I know that sounds stupid that I don't know, but I'm trying to think of what exactly their relationship is with Napoleon. What would he be the equivalent of to us?
Well,
you know, we have MacArthur and then we have Jimmy Carter.
Well, he was the emperor twice.
Yeah.
So he got kicked out and was exiled to the Isle of Elba, where
really?
He said, and I don't believe for 1 minute he actually said this, but it's so bitchin'. He apparently, when he saw Elba, said, "Able was I ere I saw Elba." And what's fascinating about that is the whole sentence is spelled the exact same way backwards and forwards.
Mm.
"Able was I ere I saw Elba" is the exact sentence backwards and forwards. There's no way anybody was that smart.
This is damn exciting.
So he gets exiled. You know you've arrived, by the way, when you get exiled to an island. Yeah, I feel like we're just going to get locked up when things go wrong.
Nobody exiles you from mood. They just kick you. The big giant board, you know, bouncer just kicks you out.
Yeah, you get tossed out.
Exiled. You get 86.
Yeah, you've arrived when you're exiled.
Cleopatra gets exiled.
So he exiled. He comes back. He puts in another 4 years or whatever, and then he loses a war, and that's the last we hear of him. But I guess they have respect for the man. So, all right, that sort of makes sense.
And here are some other weird laws. In Alabama, this one's not so weird, but it is illegal to drive blindfolded.
Good to know.
Seems like it's good to know. In the UK, a pregnant woman can legally relieve herself anywhere in public.
I like that.
Me too.
It's fair because I think your bladder gets pressured, right?
It does. I've worn those pregnant suits because they're called sympathy suits, and they put big shots, like cannonballs, on your kidneys. So they push on them all the time.
Uh-huh.
And you always have to pee.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you're in London, not anywhere in the UK, if you're
no
in London...
Kidding.
Which I'm sure you have been and will be again, Danny. It's illegal for a cab to carry either rabid dogs or corpses.
Mm-hmm.
I was unaware of that one.
Well, now you know. In El Salvador, drunk drivers can be punished by death before a firing squad.
You hear about that, but really, does it ever happen? I mean, can't you just give the guy $20 who pulls you over and get $10 change and keep driving?
If you spent your last $20 on some drinks.
I think they really do kill you in Singapore still.
Hey,
drug dealers and stuff, like if you bring drugs in, because they tell you on the airplane that we'll hang you. And then they show you a video.
Well, I must say, this is, it flew under the radar here at the news desk, but the guy who was essentially the food and drug czar of China was killed. They executed him.
Because of what's happening with the toys?
No, it was before that. It was all the pet food contamination all that kind of stuff.
They killed him?
They killed his ass. Mm. It's a weird thing because we never...
That's so above firing.
It was not really... the news kind of glossed over it, but and we can look it up and confirm it, but a few years, or I should say a few months ago, China started having trouble with contaminated food, and they were finding all those additives in the pet food and so on and so forth. They found that that guy was on the take, and then they killed him. They executed his ass, and the other guy who got screwed for doing all the toy stuff and the lead-based paint, and the he killed himself.
Yeah.
I love, there's one thing I do love about those people, which is you F up, you hurt people, we hurt you, and we don't drag it out for 10 years.
No.
We don't have a whole big pile of, you know, it's...
if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Geraldo's not going to do his 55th interview with you over 40 years, Chuck Manson.
Right.
We will kill your ass before anyone even knows about it. We'll do it so fast people won't even talk about it.
There's such wonderful things about the Asian culture in that area and the Japanese in their mafia. See, our mafia rats each other out all the time now. And we swear he wouldn't, and Sammy the Bull does.
Mm-hmm.
In the Japanese mafia, known as the Yakuza, you get to screw up exactly once and apologize to your boss. And the way you apologize is to cut off your little finger at the middle knuckle, present it to him in a box, and formally apologize. And he theoretically has to accept. You'll never see a Yakuza with two missing fingers, because you only get to apologize once. And that's, boy, that guy's really sorry. He's probably not going to screw up again.
Right.
You know, the Chinese guy, you added food additives you want to take. We killed you. I like that.
It's like us. It's like the economy goes bad, and we just execute Alan Greenspan.
Right.
Although
now, he was great. Federal Reserve Chair.
Yes.
The new guy, not as much.
Yeah. If I knew his name, I would have used it.
Well, you remember the
new guy.
Colombian soccer player who kicked an auto goal during the World Cup?
Yes.
He was gunned down.
I'm telling you.
That was awful.
I think he was Colombian. I'm not 100%.
Was he gunned down or was he beaten to death in a
killed.
Bar?
He had like a contract to put on him when he got back to his... He was the goalie or something who kicked a... mistakenly kicked a goal into his own net, and as soon as he got back to his hometown of whatever, they killed him.
Yeah.
Okay,
what would have happened to Bill Buckner?
Can't judge.
I get the government official on the take being executed by the government. Soccer's a game.
They take it very seriously in some countries.
Apparently.
Tell that to us South American countries.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we have to take a break.
We got to break the news into pieces.
Yeah.
What do we have coming up when we come back?
We have a couple more crazy illegal laws, and I'm going to tell you about Simon Cowell's new project and another coup for Seacrest. Never ends.
I heard about this.
I didn't.
If you thought you were nauseated by him hosting the Super Bowl or hosting the halftime show and the pregame show, you will never stop firing liquid out of every orifice when you hear about this.
Am I going to kill myself?
You will, and I'll tell you why.
Really? No, really?
You will put that sympathy suit on and throw yourself into the deep end of the nearest pool.
I like him, and he was nice to me when he was the afternoon.
I like him, too, but now it is war.
Because he's killing me.
He's splitting the country because half the country is interested in one of these events, and the other half is interested in the other events. And the only thing they can agree on is that they hate Ryan Seacrest. So now he's officially divided this great democracy we once lived in. We'll take a quick break. Be back with that next.
Every now and again, we like to break down the game film of PBS's Huell Hauser. But sometimes there's just not enough time for all the clips. So here's another one of Huell's Jewels.
Now, we had arranged to meet up with a member of the local historical society for a tour of the town. And what better place to meet than one of the most popular local restaurants, which not only had great food and friendly employees, but a ceiling filled with baseball hats.
Thanks, Huell. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. You normally have to travel outside of the country to find a ceiling that has hats on it. But leave it to Huell, this crack team of investigative reporters, to go find a ceiling with baseball hats.
Whew. Oh, boy.
I don't want to give too much away, but I'm in contact with Huell's people, and he tells me he's this close to cracking a case where there's actually a ceiling with something called a fan stuck to it. Yes.
Now, this is fun.
That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
You said too much.
I said too much already. Too much. T?
Yes.
From one great reporter to another, the news.
I would never compare myself to Mr. Hulhauser.
Give it about 20 years, baby, and then we'll talk.
Some other weird laws from around the world. We were just talking about London and how you can't transport a rabid dog or corpse in a cab there.
Mm-hmm.
What if you are in London and you want to flag down a taxi, but you have the plague?
Mm-hmm.
No can do. Illegal.
Yeah. Can do, right.
Here, if you have the black plague, they won't pick you up. But
especially if you have it in New York.
Just the plague. That's right.
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington.
That's right.
Now, what if you're in what if you're in Bahrain?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's very complicated to get a girly exam over there. Here's
yeah,
what happens.
Sure.
See if you can follow me.
You have to get a note from your husband or dad or something.
So much weirder.
Yes.
A male doctor can legally examine a woman's vagina, but mm-hmm. only if he's looking at its reflection in a mirror, not looking at it directly.
Right. It'll steal its soul.
I don't know how you could do a pap smear with just looking
you'd
through
it. You do it well, like cool you're doing that, trick shooting at a rodeo.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. And also, if you think about it, if you're looking in a mirror and everything is reversed,
yeah.
pap is still pap.
It's a good point.
That's true.
You're
pap's
fine.
Pap.
Mm-hmm. Same backwards and forwards.
And yeah. usually they look that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were talking about Ryan Seacrest, and of course...
Yeah. Speaking of pap smears.
Where's Bahrain? Where is that? What part of the Middle East is that in?
Bahrain. I don't know. I'm going to have
it's
Bahrain.
In the Arab Emirates, I believe, and it's kind of cool.
Look,
there,
those people
if I'm
are
not
all...
mistaken. Here's, where Michael Jackson is, I believe.
Here's all... all
not positive.
Here's
this.
What you have to do.
I could be wrong on this one.
You show me a culture that has a lot of effed up feelings toward women,
yeah.
and I'll show you a crappy culture.
Yes. They are often correlated and almost perfectly correlated.
Well, as we've discussed before, I'll show you a bully. A woman is someone who lives with you, except for you weigh 50 pounds more than she does, and you're stronger than she is. So you get to make the rules. Now, if you're an evolved culture, you realize... that's not the way to go. Just because you can physically beat somebody up doesn't mean you get to have domain over them. So you pay them 70 cents to your dollar and you move ahead. These guys, a lot of these cultures that can beat up a woman decide, hey, man, this is a nice advantage we have. So we'll go ahead and make the rules because we will beat the crap out of them
right.
if they argue with us.
Right.
It is an Arab nation. It's the smallest of the Arab nations.
Yes, that's called... flawed. That's called a personality disorder. That is a horrible way to be. That is, I'm bigger than you. I can beat you up. Right. Thus, I get to do whatever I want.
So the country itself has a personality disorder.
Any country where they have a bunch of rules about women and about how they need to be treated and how they're second-class citizens is a crappy country with crappy men running the country. They're not evolved. Obviously. You show me a country you'd like to live in that has that attitude toward women.
Correct.
Think of one.
Yeah. No.
Think of those countries. Think about countries and how they treat their women. You know, people do that thing where it's like, you know, how they treat their prisoners.
Right.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's
I
essentially.
I never got that one. And it's supposed to be brilliant, but I don't really get it.
Well, it's basically how are you, how was this country to the prisoners of war that we captured.
Right.
Right.
And how were the Japanese, how did they treat our prisoners of
right.
war? Baton death march, anybody?
Right.
Put into slave camps and worked until death.
Right.
Germans, don't get me started on them. We are a more evolved culture. Because it's not how do you treat your royalty. It's how do you treat the guys that were trying to kill you in a war 10 minutes earlier before you overran their barracks and took them. It's how you treat your women, how you treat people, how you treat your dogs, Mike Vick, how you treat the things that you don't need to treat very well because they can't harm you.
Yes.
See, it's easier just to kill prisoners. Do whatever you want to a dog and do whatever you want to your old lady because you're bigger than she is.
Okay,
we are evolved. That's what makes us better than these Arab countries. That right there.
Okay, up until now, sweatpants with zippered pockets
yeah.
was the best ever.
Right.
But I actually didn't know. I always thought that, I mean this sincerely, I always thought it meant how you treat your own prisoners. Like guys in prison, like Manson and
right,
those guys.
It does, too.
But I think the way you put it now makes perfect sense. Once your enemy is subdued, what you do to them reflects what kind of humanity you are. Right. I didn't know that. That's cool to know.
It takes a pretty big country to say, okay, we're fighting a war, and you're trying to blow us up, and you're trying to shoot us, but we've captured you now, and we will adhere to these rules. And a lot of people complain a lot about Gitmo and places like that, but you want to know torture? Go ask Saddam and his sons about torture.
Yeah.
They'll show you how to torture.
Or for some people, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, they'll throw you off a effing roof with your hands duct taped to your feet and let you land four stories on some cement pavement.
Well, that's
they'll show you torture. Yeah, they will laugh their ass off when they show, if we showed them the kind of torture we do over at Gitmo. Oh, we show them pornography that offends them. Then we squirt them.
We do bad things with a book.
Squirt them with Windex.
What about forcing them to watch Ryan Seacrest host the Emmys?
Oh, the humanity!
Ryan Seacrest to host the 59th Annual Emmy Awards, as well as previously announced, the Super Bowl halftime show. He'll still be doing some of his E! Red Carpet stuff, so I know, I want to allay your fears. You'll still see him on the red carpet a little bit for E!
Can we do this in the future just to save time?
Yeah.
Let's just mention the shows he's not hosting or on. If there's a new sitcom, we'll assume that Ryan Seacrest is starring in it, unless it is mentioned that he's not.
Okay.
If there's the Grammys, the Emmys, the any awards, any sporting events, any of the Olympics, anything, if he's not hosting it, mention
Ryan Seacrest will not be hosting the Source Awards.
Okay.
To my knowledge.
To my knowledge.
But that could change at any point. If he's available on that night, I don't see why they wouldn't use him.
Oh, hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
What's happening, Steve?
Well, first of all, I want to say, honestly, I'm not kidding. Anytime I hear any of your views, I've yet to disagree with one of them. I think you're almost like Hunter Thompson without the complete insanity.
Well, thanks. I don't know that much about Hunter S. Thompson other than he wrote and got high a lot, like guns.
Can I like you that you're complimenting a guy that I am also impressed with, but I think you picked a bad call. You're much more talented and interesting than Hunter S. Thompson.
No, what I'm saying is he's smart and funny, but he always has a sense of humanity no matter what he says, no matter who he makes fun of. I got to agree with it.
Well, thanks, Steve.
I'm just wondering one more thing. You think maybe Ryan Seacrest is going to replace Joe Rogan on UFC?
Fine point.
Why not?
Don't jinx it. I'm sure they're in talks right now.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve. How many gigs can this guy have? All right, well, look, we rarely do it, but now we're breaking the news up into another chunk because I spoke too much about our Arab neighbors. We need to take ourselves a break. T, one more tease.
Well, we never got to Simon Cowell's latest project. Tell you all about that.
Oh, I was watching him on a rerun of 60 Minutes.
Oh, yeah, that was on Sunday.
Oh, does he make money?
Yeah. Oh. More than Bruce Springsteen, he said, right?
He deserved more than Bruce Springsteen, he said.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Well, I will clarify that statement when we come back. So more Simon Cowell, and there's some Anna Nicole Smith news as well.
Yes, can you believe she's back in the news?
Thank Christ. We'll take a quick break. Be back with that.
Hi, I'm Donald Trump. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Adam Carolla does not, you know what, suck.
T.
Yes.
Now the rest of the rest of the news.
You even gonna bother with the music?
Mm. Oh, there you go.
Good enough. Thank you for that. Simon Cowell has a new movie he's producing called Starstruck.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a listen to Simon on Extra discussing not his new movie, his new film.
It is about 10 contestants who enter a gigantic singing contest. It's like Rocky, you know, it's about good versus evil, and it will be very, very realistic. I'm going to cast for the lead across America. So if you get through the auditions and you get a part in this movie, it's a huge, huge deal.
Quite a departure.
Yeah.
He's doing a movie about people who try to win singing competitions.
Seems odd.
Crazy notion. I don't mind him. I don't mind him because he just makes a bunch of money and he's open about it and he's fine. And that obnoxious thing we thought he said about Bruce Springsteen was basically Bruce is getting $100 million For some reason, when Bruce gets $100 million, it's cool. When Simon gets it, he's a hack.
Right.
What do you think Bruce is going to do? Donate all that to Darfur? Or is he just going to buy himself some mansion in New Jersey? Somehow, when Simon basically said, I sell more records than Bruce Springsteen does. Yeah, I bring more money to the company. So if Bruce Springsteen gets $100 million from Sony BMG, I should, or BMI or whatever, BFD or whatever it is, Sony BFD,
BTW.
I should get more because I bring in more than this guy brings in, which is all the company's about, ultimately.
Yeah. Not a bad
That's
point.
What he was saying. I can't stand his girlfriend, Terry Seymour.
I have issue with her, too.
Her hair bugs me.
I know.
Number one. And I always hate it when they do that. We got an exclusive interview.
Right.
With, yeah, it's his girlfriend.
Yes, I know. I used to.
She rolled over in bed and got an exclusive interview.
I know.
You guys act like you pulled some strings and you have a. Only here will you find this interview with Simon Cowell. It's the chick he's currently boning.
Yes.
Of course she has access to his mouth.
Right.
She has access to his junk.
Exactly.
And puts it in her mouth. That's how she gets the interview.
Well, that's how I got that interview with Brian Dunkelman.
No kidding.
So that's not easy. we used to both be correspondents on Good Day Live, which is no longer on the air. I would be out covering some parade in the snow. And she would be on the red carpet, and I was bitter.
Terry was?
Yeah, she was always covering American Idol.
I'm here on the red carpet, and I'm covering the beautiful people while that big-hipped Jewess
is in the snow.
Schnazzy McBeekman is out in the snow. To you, Schnazzy, a report.
Yeah, they go, how's it out there at the St.
How's
Patrick's
it going
Day
out
parade?
There at the St. Patty's Day report? How's it going out there?
It's pretty good. It's a little cold.
Mm-hmm.
Freezing.
Perhaps you could stretch your yarmulke to engulf your entire Jewish body. Or will it fit over those enormous hips?
Not big enough.
Oh, here comes DiCaprio. I have to talk to him.
Yeah, I'd be getting frostbite, and then they cut to her in her gown with her exclusive interview with Simon Cowell.
Mm.
She does a good job, though.
You know how
God bless her.
You know how God bless her. You love her like a sister.
Yeah.
You know,
I've never met her. She seems delightful.
The delight.
I hate to turn anything about me. It bothers me that I feel, you know, I just don't want to do that. It's not my nature.
Yeah.
But I recently delivered a baby basket to Nicole Richie's house on my motorcycle, and then Jack Silver gave me the tape and wanted me to listen to it and time when I heard my voice. And it was 8 minutes of a 4-hour show that I was on the air.
Really?
How's this related?
He wants you to time it?
He said, where the hell are you? Don't you work here?
Tell Danny to move on.
Oh.
But,
is this related in any way to this Terry Seymour thing?
No, it was related to what you were just saying this second.
Oh,
that
when they
somebody
would cut
had
to me
the job,
on the remote.
They'd cut
got
to
it,
you.
Got it. That's
that almost exactly relates.
I was in the snow, though.
Yeah, I was on a Harley with a baby basket in the Golvinci's house. Marty Bagels and the Begmans.
You did a good job.
I can't get past Terry Seymour's hair.
You do not interrupt me!
I do.
That
I have
crinkly,
curly hair, too, but flat iron it.
Crinky, greasy hair doesn't work on anybody.
No.
She's a beautiful
very
woman,
pretty.
I bet. I know, and you hope she dies, but if her hair were straight...
I'm wishing her to the cornfield right now.
I could listen to her. Cornrow field.
I wish you were dead.
Good stuff, Ace Man.
There was a co-anchor on Current Affair named Tina with jet black hair that was just wavy and wild, and it was really cool looking.
Well, she ain't pulling this one off. All right,
no,
Simon Cowell's rich. He's got
a
movie,
got a new
blah,
movie,
blah,
and
blah.
Then quickly, Anna Nicole Smith's daughter... is having her first birthday. Doesn't it seem like just yesterday?
She should be pregnant by now.
Danny Lynn Hope Marshall Burke. She's only one. But
what's
there
her
will
name?
Be Danny Lynn Hope Marshall Burkehead.
So what if we got her together with Countess Prince Bonaducci?
Dante, Jean-Michel, Valentino.
So what would that sound like if we got, like if we were at a wedding and they were getting married and they did the thing where they went, Count Jean-Michel, Dante,
Valentino,
sign artist formerly known as Prince. Do you take Bonaducci the second? Do you take
Danny Lynn Hope Marshall Burkehead?
It's not my fault. I think it's an official document, and I get scared of official things. And the line for the name was really long, and I thought if I don't fill it out, they'll grade it.
But on the same document, it says, have you ever traveled to Haiti? Do you have hepatitis C? You don't have to check those boxes if they're not true.
Well, you check no. I've never had hepatitis C. No, I've never been to those things.
All right.
And my son had
that leaves a box
a
left
line,
to fill out. Yes.
It said by name, but the line was 6 inches long. Dante is less than an inch.
Right.
Count Jean-Michel, another 2 inches. Valentino Bonaducci, I now filled the line. I just thought I was supposed to.
I see.
I'd have named him Kitty Face if I had another inch on that line.
I feel like we have a broad spectrum in here of personalities. I, who couldn't remember the middle name of my child a few hours ago.
Yeah.
I don't mind my
brothers. Danny's kid has 11 middle names.
Yeah.
All right, T, let's take it home, baby girl.
This is for you, Adam. Today, on DVD... an action movie starring Eddie Griffin called Redline.
Oh, yes.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Jay, gas up the Celica. Because be heading over to Blockbuster in North Hollywood and getting in line. Gotta see me some Redline. Get a little fast and furious. It's either that or the Scirocco.
Line. It's the line for
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I don't want to get burned like I did with Fast and Furious Tokyo Trip. It took me a full 2 days before I saw that thing. All right, we'll be back. Wow, you want to hear the definition of fat? I was just watching CNN where they're doing some story on fat people, and they do that chest down anonymous fat guy walking. I saw a chick walking around who had what would be the equivalent of a add-a-leaf to her fanny pack. An extender belt onto the fanny pack, and the panis was cutting into the fanny pack. She had a fleshy fanny pack already.
Where do you get the add-a-leaf?
I don't know, but America's getting fatter, and I'm going to get richer off it.
I hate the fun
Ace Corolla's fanny pack add-a-leaf. All right. Tired of being strangled by your fanny pack? I want to thank Scott Baio for coming in here. Scott Baio is 45 and single. Sundays, 10:30 on VH1. Def Frat Guy, defratguy.com. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
I enjoy eating human flesh.